గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీల ప్రవిష్ణు విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమే వహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాడ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంది యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర వరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభీ శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాత్ నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాధరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది జన్మేదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమదిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోందం సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొణితాదృతానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపీం. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ దినామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ
సంహరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమదిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారకాం వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రీభగవానువాచ యో విద్యాశ్రుతసంపన్నం ఆత్మవాన్నానుమానికాః మాయామాత్రమిదం జ్ఞాత్వా జ్ఞానం చ మయి సన్యసేత్. జ్ఞానినస్తుహమేవేష్ట స్వార్థో హేతుశ్చ సమ్మత సుర్గైశ్చ అపవర్గశ్చ నాన్యోర్థో మధ్య మదృదే ప్రియాః. జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంసిద్ధం పదం శ్రేష్టం విదుర్మమ. జ్ఞానీ ప్రియతమోదో మే జ్ఞానీనాసోభివర్తి మాం. తపస్తీర్థం జపోదానం పవిత్రానితరాన్ని చ నాలం కుర్వంతి తాం సిద్ధి యా జ్ఞానకలయా కృతా. తస్మాత్ జ్ఞానేన సహితం జ్ఞాత్వా స్వాల్పానం ఉద్ధవ జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంపన్నో భజమాం భక్తిభావిదాః. జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞానయజ్ఞేన మామిష్ట్వాల్పానమాల్పని సర్వయజ్ఞపదిం మాం వై సంసిద్ధిం మునయో అగమన్. త్వయుద్ధవాశ్రయదయస్త్రివిధో వికారో మాయాంతరాపతినాత్ అపవర్గయోర్యత్ జన్మాదయో సేదమీ తవ తస్య కిం స్యూ ఆద్యందయోర్ యదసదోస్తి తదేవ మధ్యే. సో యెస్టర్డే దీస్ వర్సెస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్ ఇన్ దిస్ 19th చాప్టర్ టు ఉద్ధవ. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సెయింగ్ టు దెమ్ దట్ దట్ ది important thing to remember is from these verses what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. These two things, which one? Imperfection of the body, imperfection of the mind, imperfection in the intelligence, and imperfection in the senses. The whole thing is imperfect. Krishna is saying the whole thing is imperfect. Added to that, we have got to deal with our prarabdham also. Two things. This is what Krishna is pointing out to Uddhava. Uddhava, the body is imperfect, mind is imperfect, intelligence is imperfect. Don't look for perfection in here, in the body. It will not happen. Under no circumstances it's going to be perfect. In order to teach us, Srimad Bhagavatam in several places, directly and indirectly, points out the prarabdham of different personalities. If you read Bhagavatam carefully, you will see this. To tell us, Bhagavatam is a big message for the prarabdham. Bhagavatam has never supported this theory that you have a devotee so your prarabdham is gone. No. Prarabdham is there right up to the last second till the body drops away. That prarabdham will be there. To begin in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see Sri Narada Maharshi talking about himself. When he says that I had to become the son of the servant maid due to prarabdham, that is what has brought him that. That it so happened due to a bad vasana inside, he went into Brahmasatram where they were performing a big sacrifice. He went there little bit intoxicated as a Gandharva along with other women with him. And when they went there, the rishis who were present there, they didn't like it. His no humility, and in a very loose nature he behaved there in front of them, Sri Narada Maharshi. The rishis cursed him that you become a Shudra. And that is why he had to take the birth of a son of a servant maid, and take the birth as a Shudra. This is important point because Narada Maharshi is saying it himself. He says, Arabdha karma nirvanam nibadal panchabhautikaha. Later on he says, when I got that birth as the servant maid's son, otherwise why Sri Narada Maharshi had to come, a great personality, to come as the son of a servant maid. So to point out to us that don't fight against the prarabdham, it will not work. You just have to, it will happen, and it is best thing is to wait till the prarabdham drops away. Prarabdham drops off. So to begin in the Bhagavatam itself, this story of Sri Narada Maharshi is to point out to us that a powerful thing is this prarabdham. That is what Krishna is also pointing out here. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is imperfect. There is no perfection there possible there. Added to that, you have also got this prarabdham to live with. It is under the control of all these things we are living in this world. And therefore, to think that and to lament about things that I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, is simply a avidya, or in other words, ignorance that is. Because we have come here under these two influences, imperfection of the body and the mind and the intelligence, ego, everything, plus added to that the prarabdham in us. How, where else in the Srimad Bhagavatam is so many stories, not one, at least half a dozen we can point out, but there are many more in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a very powerfully pointing out this prarabdham to us. That if you accept that, then there is no lamentation about anything, nothing to lament about anything. In the Bhagavatam you will also see there that Jadabharata's taking the body of a deer. He himself says that, like Narada Maharshi said, why did he have to get the body of a deer? There was some vasana inside, and in order, because of that vasana, he had to accept the body of a deer. That's what happened to him. And then he says, till that prarabdham is over, I had to stay in that deer body. When the prarabdham was over, I got released from that body, and then I realized that who I was. Because Krishna gave him, because of his Krishna consciousness, Krishna gave him the opportunity to remember his previous birth, that he was Emperor Bharata, and then he became a deer, and then he became eventually Bharata Yogeshwara, Jadabharata he became later, three lifetimes, isn't it? So that is another story of prarabdham in the Bhagavatam. Then Vritrasura became, Chitrakedu became Vritrasura. Vritrasura says to Sri Parvati when he was cursed, my dear mother, I don't want any release from this because I know there is some prarabdham in me to go through this, Vritrasura's body. So I don't want any kind of concession from you. I'm willing to accept that body. And that is how happily he accepted the body of Vritrasura. Chitrakedu accepted the body of Vritrasura to get through that prarabdham, finished. In the case of ninth canto, you will see there was a... Ikshvaku had a son by name Sudyumna. This Sudyumna had a... after the sacrifice and all, Sudyumna was born. And when Sudyumna was born, that he was supposed to be the next king. But due to some prarabdham, he went for hunting with all his mates together to Ilavrata Varsham, where Lord Shiva stays with Sri Parvati there. And there was an agreement that whoever comes to that area will immediately become a female form. And this happened to Sudyumna. Sudyumna became Ila. Sudyumna became Ila. And not only him, all his friends became female, including the horse they were driving, all became female. And later on, Vasishtha Maharshi spoke to Lord Shiva and got a concession that 6 months he could be a male and 6 months he could be a female. So 6 months he is a prince and 6 months he is a princess. This was his situation. People discuss today, nowadays, about gay marriages and all that. So it's not something new today happening. Even in those days, these problems were there. So it's nothing new today. Then we say that, isn't it? Lot of discussion going on about this. Gay marriages and position of the gay in the society, all sorts of things. What I'm saying is, at that time Sudyumna tried to do both, the prince's job because he was going to be the king, and the people started saying, we don't want a king like this who is 6 months male and 6 months female. All the people started talking like that. Finally, Sudyumna got so fed up that he threw away everything, went to the forest. He said, I had this prarabdham to go through. This 6 months male, 6 months female, that's over now, I'm going back to the spiritual world. He executed penances, left this world and went back to the spiritual world. That's another story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about prarabdham. Like this, if you see throughout Bhagavatam, you will see there's only one thing to tell us, don't fight against prarabdham. What has to happen will happen. You will not be able to change it. If you try to change it, material nature will punish you much more strongly later. She has brought us, Krishna sent us here with this body with a particular mission. Mission is this, that we require some modifications, some changes in our own consciousness. Therefore, whatever that is to be done, Prakriti knows what it has to do, and it will do that in its own way. So, intelligent thing is to understand this power of prarabdham and not get disturbed over it, accepting that as a truth, trying as best as possible through sadhana or upasana, salsangam, bhakti, cultivating this and trying to always find some relief from this prarabdham, what we have to go through in this world. That's all you can do. You can't do anything more than that. To think that I'm going to change the whole scene in the life, you will end up somewhere else. What you have planned and tried will not happen. So, that's the two things. Then Krishna is saying to us, Krishna is also saying in that verse to Uddhava, Uddhava, let it be like that. Let prarabdham be there. Let that imperfection in the body also be there. Because a lot of people are thinking that if they can somehow make the body perfect, isn't it? Remember, we discussed yesterday, people are trying all sorts of ways to make the body perfect by various kinds of services like massage in the body and jogging and this, that, the other. Different ways they are trying to make the body perfect. Krishna is pointing out to us that is also a waste of time. But trying to make the body perfect. Neither, he says, which is already imperfect. What is that imperfection? Imperfection in the body as well as imperfection in the world. World is also imperfect. We are also imperfect. In other words, the body is also imperfect. Don't try to make neither the world nor the body perfect. It will not become perfect. Don't try to make the world perfect. So many people have tried to make the world perfect. Is it not? They are still trying. And many more future generations will come and try. There is no question about that. But the world will never become perfect. That is Krishna's point. Equally, the body also will never become perfect. So because it is like that, another important point, what he has mentioned, Adandayor yadasado asmi tadeva madhye. Krishna is saying, if a vastu, only if it is perfect, you can become perfect. If the vastu is perfect, then you can become that vastu and become perfect. You shouldn't try yourself to make something imperfect to make it perfect. It will not happen. Therefore, Krishna is saying, inside us, only the soul is perfect. So if you become realized, self-realized, and you become the soul, you become perfect. That is the only way to become perfect. There is no other way. That is what Krishna is pointing out to us. Realize the self and you will be perfect. But to remain in the body and to think that I'll become perfect will not happen. That is important point. Purna vastu. That purnada or perfection is only in the soul, nowhere else. So if you want to free yourself from distress once for all, the only solution is to realize the self. If you realize the self, what will happen is that perfection of the soul you can have. You will have it and you will become perfect. There is no other way to become perfect. By adjusting the body, mind, intelligence, the world, everything is imperfect. That is Krishna's point. Adyandayor yadasadosmi tadeva madhyem. In one line, Krishna kept the whole thing together. So, Vyavaharam will continue. Therefore, Krishna's instruction is that live in that way in this world. One should live in this world in that way, knowing these things, and look for self-realization. That is the answer to the whole problem. There is no other answer. So, sometimes people say, I will sort this out first, that out, and then I'll get my body right together, and after that I'll become a realized soul. I'll become a realized soul. That will not happen, Krishna's point. Because, you can see the mind itself, if you go into meditation, some people get into meditation mood, but even after meditation, sometimes they say they didn't feel that dhyanam, meditation didn't happen to them. Mind was wandering around everywhere, just to show the nature of the mind. So trying to make the mind perfect also will not work. Therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, these are the symptoms of one who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Gunatitan. Krishna calls it as Gunatitan. And in another place, Krishna also calls it as Dvandvatitan. From beyond the dualities of the material nature. So, if you look into the 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will talk about a person who is realized. What is he like? He says there, if you look into the 15th chapter, 5th verse, Nirmana Moha Jidasanga Dosha Adhyalpa Nitya Vinivritta Kama Dvandvair Vimukta Sukadukka Samyer Gacchandya Moda Padamavyayam Tad. That is that state. Nirmana moha jida sanga dosha adhyalpa nitya vinivritta kamaham dvandvair vimukta sukha dukkha samyer gacchandya mouda padam avyayam tad. Fifth verse in the 15th chapter. So you can see, while speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna has pointed out the same thing to him. He says there, one who is free from illusion, false pressure. What is the illusion? Illusion is this, that I can make the body perfect. I can make the world perfect. This is all illusion. And false prestige, false association. Who understands the eternal, the soul inside? Who is done with material lust? Who is done with material lust and is freed from the duality of happiness and distress, which does not exist in the soul? And who knows how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attains to that eternal kingdom. So Krishna has mentioned this, the Nirmana Moha Jita Sanga Dosha. Krishna says, freedom from Sangam. That is his nature. He has no connection anywhere, attachment anywhere. The mind is wavering, but at the same time, he is situated in the platform of the soul. Mind may be wavering, but he is in the platform of the Alpanishta, Brahmanishta, Jnananishta, whatever you may call it, he is in that state. So, whether he is a healthy person or whether he is a sick person, still he is situated on the platform of the soul, Alpanishta. He is in the platform of the soul. Even if he is sick or if he is healthy, doesn't matter. Similarly, if he is conducting vyavaharam in this world, various transactions in this world, while conducting the vyavaharam, if it comes out nicely, or if the whole thing fails, still he is situated on the platform of the soul. These things would not touch him. This is the symptom of a person who is transcended the modes of nature. Whatever happens in the world during transactions, if something goes wrong, he is not disturbed over it. Or if it happens very well, goes well, still also it doesn't cause any movement inside, he is still on the platform of the soul. In other words, you cannot cause any movement of his situation inside, Atmanishta. He is so situated like that it cannot move. Therefore, Krishna says, Yo vidya shruta sambannaha, that na anumaniyaha, that first line, Yo vidya shruta sambannam atmavan anumaniyaha, remain as a atmavan, not as a anumanika. He does not want people to be anumanika, rather they should remain as atmavan. They should remain as atmavan. Atmavan, he is a satyadarshi. He is the seeker of the truth. So that satyadarshim, satyadarshi means one who is seeking the truth, And seeing that truth is Satyamvaram Dhimahi. Bhagavadam begins that, isn't it? Satyamvaram Dhimahi. Bhagavadam begins with Satyamvaram Dhimahi. Bhagavadam finishes with Satyamvaram Dhimahi. You know. Janmadhya Seto Anvayad. If you look at that verse, it finishes Satyamvaram Dhimahi. Finally, at the end of Srimad Bhagavadam, Kasmayena Vibhasidoyamadilo Jnana Pradiva Pura Tudrubena Naradayamuniye Krishnaya Tudrubina Yogindraya Tathatpanada Bhagavad Karunya Tashruddham Vimalam Vishokam Amrdam Satyamvaram Dhimahi. So that is that Satyam. Satyamvaram Dhimahi. Bhagavadam begins with Satyamvaram Dhimahi, finishes with Satyamvaram Dhimahi. So rishis, the sages, because of their great compassion for us, they have given us this knowledge of the Brahmavidya, or Brahmavidya to us, and that is still flowing. Brahmavidya continues to flow in this world all the time. And if we are matured enough inside, if we are matured enough, you can use it. This knowledge, you can utilize it. And that is what the message is. That if you are matured enough, matured means if you understand at this point what Krishna is talking about, then you can utilize Bhagavad Gita and the knowledge what the rishis have given to us and escape from here. That's the only thing what we can do, not anything else. So that is why when Krishna spoke these things, look into Uddhava's reply at that time, what Uddhava said. Uddhava uvacha jnanam vishuddham vibalam yathaidal vairagya vijnana yutam puranam akhyahi vishveshara vishyamurte tol bhakti yogam cha mahad vimugyam tabatrayena bihadasya khore samtapyamana se bhavadvanisha pashyami nanya charanam tavankil dundvadavatrad amrdabhi varshad deshtam janam sampaditam bilesmin kalahina chudra sukhoru tarsham samudharainam krabaya bavargir vajobi asinja mahanubhava. Those three verses. Uddhava asking Krishna some questions now. Uddhava says to him that this, this, he says, jnanam tabatrayena bihatasya ghore. Tapatraya means these three things, isn't it? Adhyatmikam, Adibhautikam, Adidevikam. All of them, one refers to the body and one refers to what comes from the world, another one refers to the mind, the three things. All three of them, even if I try to stay away from that, Uddhava says it comes and falls on me. What can I do? Uddhava is saying how helpless he is. And because I am burning because of these three types of distress in this world, and when that is happening, I have no other shelter in this material existence, because I have, Krishna, he says to him, Pashyami nanya anya charanam tavankri, I have no other shelter except your lotus feet. Uddhava says to Krishna. And just like if you stay underneath the umbrella in the hot sun, how you feel the shade. Similarly, while staying in Salsangam, continuously hearing what Krishna has instructed to Arjuna and Uddhava, you will feel the same shelter from that. That is what Uddhava is saying. Uddhava says, I only feel this shelter when you are talking to me. When Krishna is talking to him, Uddhava says, I feel the shelter. And similarly, he says here that the only way samdapyamanasya bhavadvanishaha pashyami nanyam charanathavangrim dundvadavatral amrdabhi varshal dushdashtam janam sampadidam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarsham. The only way, Uddhava says there, the only relief I find is when Krishna was talking, he says. When Krishna kept on talking about the truth, Uddhava says, I was feeling the relief inside. I was feeling the relief inside. So, so if you want that relief in this misery, of middle of all these miseries, the only opportunity is to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and association of devotees, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita from them, and taking their shelter. So, what will they do? What is the magic they will do? There is no magic for them also to give. What they do is, they'll constantly talk to you about the truth, directly to you, that the satyam. They will not keep it hiding anywhere. Satyam will be spoken. What is in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita? That satyam will be continuously spoken, and you have to take the shelter of that truth, of that knowledge, and that is our shelter. So, if you want to take that shelter, as they say, you have to associate with people who are Brahmadarshi. Brahmadarshi means Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavadi. One who has gone through that process, one who has cultivated knowledge of the self, and they will continuously tell you there is no problem. There is no problem in this world. They will tell you all the time there is no problem in this world. And to always ask you to remain in a peaceful state. That's all they can do. That's all they can do. It is a small, like an antibiotic for us. That when the middle of all these burning problems in the life, various ways, what will happen to all of us, that the only rescue or only relief is when you hear this message from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees. So, if you always take the shelter of that, that will be, there will be no problems. You can escape from even prarabdham to a large extent, that it will protect you from that stage. They will make sure, they'll see to it, that you will also leave other things and become satyadarshi. In other words, they desire that others also should become, realize the same truth what they have realized. So here Uddhava is saying to Krishna, except that I have no other shelter in this world. Uddhava is also confirming to Krishna the same thing. And when I am sitting there, Krishna, Uddhava says here in these verses, you will see that, that dashtam janam sampaditam bilesmin kalahina chudra sukhoru tarsham samuddharainam kripaya apavargair vajobi asincha mahanubhavam tabatrayena bihatasya khore samtapyamanasya bhavadhvanishaha pashyami nanyacharanam tavangri dvandvadapatrad amrudabhi varshad. Uddhava says dvandvadapatrad means transcending the dualities of the world. Transcending the dualities of the world. It is dualities that is causing the problem. Is it not? Dualities is causing the problem. Because happiness and distress, coming going. And we completely get sucked into it. And you feel that distress coming from that. Sometime happiness in life. You can also, everyone knows this in the world, isn't it? One who has lived in this world for some time, know very well, there is no such thing permanent, anything here permanently. 1 month you may feel very good, the next month will be totally miserable. Or 1 day you will feel good, the next month is totally opposite. Why is it like this? It has to be like that. That is the question. Uddhava is saying here, that state has to go. Dvandvada patram, patran amrdabhi varshad. He says, Salsangam, what it does is, keeps you in a stable state all the time, unaffected by the changes in the duality or dualities of the material nature. Often people feel this, isn't it? Sometimes you feel very depressed, sometimes you feel very good. So, has it to be like this all the time, up and down, this situation? So, that is why Uddhava is saying here that when you, I am under your shelter, when you are talking to me this Ekadasha Skandam, I feel like nectar. When I hear that, Uddhava says, I feel like nectar. And that is why Krishna is instructing this to Uddhava. But now what's going to happen is, Krishna is also going. So Uddhava is feeling, who is going to tell me now these things? So therefore, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, you shouldn't take shelter of my physical presence. This taking shelter of physical presence is a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing, because you don't know when they will go, to whom you have taken shelter. So, that is why this Ekadashi Skandam, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava that I don't want you to take shelter of my physical presence. Rather, you should take shelter of the knowledge what I am going to talk to you. And that way he puts it to them. And there he says here in that 10th verse, Dashtam janam sampadidam bilesmin kalahina chudra sukhoru tarsham samuddharainam kripayava vargir vajobirasincha mahanubhavam vajobirasincha mahanubhavam. That is what Krishna Uddhava has to say. That I want this shelter. Krishna says, you can have the shelter, but not my physical shelter. Physical shelter is no good. Whereas the shelter of knowledge is what Krishna wants us to take, not his physical shelter. So, you can see here, earlier, Krishna has instructed Uddhava pure knowledge in the first verses right up to 7. First to 7 verses, Krishna glorified knowledge to a very high extent, isn't it? Greatest extent he has glorified there. And he also said that a realized person, a jnani, he is as good as me, Krishna says. He is as good as me because in all his dealings with the world and everything, he is always like me, like Krishna, he says. And in other words, Krishna is also jnana surubam. Knowledge personified is Krishna, isn't it? Knowledge personified is Krishna. Jnanam is Krishna Swarupam. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Bhagavatam begins. Advaya jnanam is that tattvam. Advaya jnanam is tattvam. And that advaya jnanam is Krishna Swarupam. And that advaya jnanam is addressed by transcendentalists as Brahmam, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam, which is called as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. That is important thing. Advaya jnanam is Krishna Swarupam, who is addressed as Brahmam, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Therefore, what is Krishna Swarupam? Krishna Swarupam is knowledge. Krishna Swarupam is knowledge. That is how we have to understand Krishna. Otherwise, if you completely always take the shelter of the form, form will go. Form also will come and disappear and you will be lost. You will be lost. So that is why, kashta te srishti cheshta bahudara bhavakedaha jiva bhaja ityevam purvam alojidam ajidamaya naiva madhyabhijani no jail jiva kathamva madurataramidam tudvabushchidrasardram netrai shrotrai shamitva paramarasasudham bodhipure rameran. How Krishna's, what is Krishna's form? Kashtade srishti cheshta bahudara bhavakhedaha jiva bhajam. That earlier, it is from the Narayaniyam, this verse, Velpatur says to Krishna, earlier I thought, kashtade srishti cheshta, why did you create this whole living entities like this, who have to go through so many problems in this life? Bahudara bhava khedaha jiva bhajam. Lot of distress for them, for the living entities in this world. Why? Ityevam purvam alochitam. Like this I was thinking before, he says. I used to think like this before. Why all this creation? What do you get from this? That you created all these living entities and they are struggling and suffering in this world. What is the happiness in this? Velpatura asked Krishna. Ityevam purvam alojitam. I used to think like that, he said. Ajidamaya naivam adhyabhijani. But now I have changed my thinking. Why? No jail, if you have not done this. Katham va madurataramidam tvadvabhus chidrasardram. If you have not given this opportunity to them, how will they get to know your real identity? How will they understand Krishna otherwise? They will simply think that Krishna is that form, nothing else. They won't understand Krishna is the knowledge. No jail jiva katham va madurataramidam tudvabhu chidrasardram. Not only that, when they see that netrai shrotrai ischapitva, they want to drink Krishna inside through the eyes and through the ears. Seeing Krishna's form through the eyes and the knowledge through the ears. Krishna's two forms. Netrai shrotrai chapitva. By doing that, paramara sasudham bodhi pure remeran. In that way, they can be situated on the platform of the soul and enjoy. They can enjoy in that way. That is the opportunity Krishna has given to us. Because everybody asks this question. When we see all the miseries of this world, people ask this question. That is how people become atheists. You see, how they become atheists is like this. That they see a lot of miseries in this world. Then we are saying there is God, God, God. People are saying, where is your God? Why does he allow all these things to happen? But we have only seeing the world and making a decision about the God. But Krishna's decision is this. He created us and given us an opportunity to understand Krishna better. That is what Krishna has created us for. Not for looking at the world and feel the miseries there. And unless there are miseries, we won't become Krishna conscious. That's also there, is it not? Only because of the misery, we take to Krishna consciousness, dukkham. So, he says, no jail jiva katham va madhura taramidam. Then, I used to think like this, Melpatur says to Krishna, that no jail jiva, if you have not given this opportunity, how will I see your beautiful form? And therefore, I can see that form, beautiful form of Krishna. Netrai shrotrai chapitva. I can hear your sweet words, what you have spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and see your real Swarupam as knowledge personified. Otherwise, there is no opportunity. If you have not created me, or if you have not created the living entity, how will they get a chance to hear about you? This is Melpatur's answer to the question. He raises the question, and then he answers it later. Initially, he says that I was always thinking, he said, why did you create us all like this and put us through all this difficulty? Now I can see, he says, why you have created us. Why? Because you have created us and given this opportunity, we are able to see your beautiful form, able to see through the eyes and hear about you through the ears and realize the truth. That opportunity, we wouldn't have got it otherwise. He's saying that. So that is the answer. So because people do not look into the other side of it, they're only seeing the misery. And they are saying that there is no God because everyone is suffering like this. If God is there, why doesn't he sort it out all first? As though God is, God will do what we want him to do. He is waiting there for our orders from here to do what he will do what he has to do. It's only our option is to go along with his decision and his choice. There is nothing else we can do about it. And within Krishna's framework, we have to live in this world. Within Krishna's decisions, we have to comply with that, and then life will be better. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, a person who has realized the self, and who is situated on the platform of the Brahmanishta or Jnananishta, such a jnani, Krishna is saying, he is not different from me. Have you noticed that? Krishna says, he is not different from me. He is as good as me. That is how much he value this knowledge. Krishna is so pleased when someone realizes this knowledge. Such a person who has realized this knowledge and who is living in this world, he is as good as me. Can you imagine a certificate like that to somebody from Krishna's side? Krishna says that even though you see his body moving around in this world, his personality is not limited to that body alone. His body is moving around in this world, but his personality is not limited to that body alone. He says, Agnir Murdha Chakshushi Chandra Suryo Disha Shrotrai Va Vivruddhascha Vedaham Vayu Pranam Hridayo Vishwamasya Pado Pradivim Sarvabhudandara Alma. This is his state. This is a mantra from the Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is a not a big Upanishad, but there are so many things spoken about a realized personality, how he is. Agnir Murdha Chakshushi Chandra Suryo Disha Shrotreva Vivridhascha Vedaha Vayu Pranam Hridayo Vishwamasya Padau Pradivyam Sarvabhut Andaralma. For him, that person, his body is moving around, but in reality, he is everywhere. You see that? Because, you see, when we are talking about self-realization, you have to see the final situation with that person. Initially he is limited to the body. That is how we start. We talk about me, the soul, individual soul, self within the body. That is how we begin with, isn't it? But final state, when he is totally released from this, he has no body. Body is finished, gone. But then what is his identity? That is what Mundaka Upanishad is saying there. Is knowledge then, isn't it? At that time, Agni, fire, he is his Murdhav, the top part of the head. And sun and the moon are his eyes. Sun and moon are his eyes. The different directions are his ears. And the words what he speak is the Vedic knowledge. And the whole air in the world, Vayu, is his prana, life air. And his heart is this whole creation. That is his form. That is his form. And only his legs are in the earth. Legs are on the earth. And earth is his feet. Earth is his feet. And that is what Mundaka Upanishad says is what Sarvabhuda Antaratma. Sarvabhuda Antaratma says here. And that is same thing when they addressed Shuka Brahmarshi. Remember? Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanatosmi. Sarvabhuda Hridayam. Presence everywhere in everyone. That is Shuka Brahmarshi. So today this is interesting. When we talk about Shuka Brahmarshi, we think he is a person, isn't it? That's how we talk about him. We say Sukadeva Goswami, a person. As though we think he is one like us, somewhere with some body, sitting somewhere. And people ask all sorts of questions about Sukadeva Goswami. They want to know his CV or his biodata. Shukadeva Goswami has no biodata. He cannot give you because he is everywhere. What will you say to him? What will you say about Shukadeva Goswami? Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanatosmi. Remember yesterday I was saying about that Brahmana who applied for a job in the government. They asked him, what is your profession? He says, self-inquiry. They didn't offer him a job. Brahmana also said, thank you very much. So this is spiritual life. All these material conceptions centered around the body must go one day. And only a person who has transcended the world, who has transcended the senses, mind, everything, like Sukadeva Goswami, you can see here that this Mundaka Upanishad, these words, fits in very well with Shuka Brahmarshi. If you ask where is Shuka Brahmarshi, he is here now. He is here. Hearing what we are talking about him, he is here. That is why you have to be very careful when you talk about these great personalities. They are everywhere. There is no place where they are not. In fact, in one instance, one incident happened, and Melpathur was writing Narayaniyam in Guruvayur temple. One morning at about 4 o'clock, the devotees were coming and moving around. In the middle of that, he saw a very short person, hardly about 1 or 1.5 foot tall, walking into the deity room. Immediately he sensed who it is. Others couldn't see. It was Agastya Maharshi. Agastya is very small. Therefore, Agastya felt offended by Indradyumna. You remember? And that is how that incident happened. Which one? Gajendra Moksham. Incident happened. Agastya Maharshi walking into the deity room. And therefore, many famous Bhagavatam speakers, whenever they spoke anything in the temple, particularly, they were extremely careful not to offend anyone. Personalities like Durvasav, Vishwamitra Maharshi, they are all present everywhere. If you ask where do they live, there is no address for them. They don't have a postcode or a mobile number or anything like that. These are personalities who are present everywhere due to their realization. They can see and know everything what goes on everywhere. This is their state. That is why Krishna is saying, Jnanis are not different from me. They are like me, he says. For this reason only. That they are present everywhere and they are not different from Krishna in any way. Krishna says like that, isn't it? Then he says, Jnani Tvalpaiva Me Madam, he says. Jnani Tvalpaiva Me Udara Sarvayevede Jnani Tvalpaiva Me Madam Astida Sahi Yuktalma Mameva Uttamam Gadi Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying that. Jnani is not different from me. He is me, he is no different. That's how Krishna puts it. So all these personalities, all these sages, they are all jnanis. Great jnanis they are, isn't it? Durvasav, Vishwamitra, Markandeya, another great personality. Angirasa Maharshi, Srinarda Maharshi. They are all present everywhere. They are all present everywhere. They can. So here you can see, now that's why you have to be careful when you say anything about them. You should not think, oh, they are not here, so I can say anything what I like about them. You should never think like that, because if you are sensitive to Bhagavatam and understand Bhagavatam properly, they are present everywhere. Therefore, in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, they warned us, Tam sarvabhudakhdayam muniman atosmi. He is present in everyone, not only in the human species, even in the animals, plants, everywhere, because he is consciousness. Because he is consciousness. That is the most important thing. So Jnani has achieved that state. How did he do that? Is it due to sadhana? No. It's not due to sadhana. Because through sadhana, you can reach that state. This is called akhandada, akhandatvam. Akhandatvam means you are not anymore a broken piece of consciousness. You have become that full consciousness in reality, the truth. You have become that. How is that possible? That you cannot make through sadhana. Sadhana will not help you to get there. Sadhana can only do what is possible. That is sadhyam. What sadhyam is possible, that only sadhana can do. Sadhana has its own limitations. If you start thinking through sadhana, you can reach that stage. That is not possible. And also, the sadhyam, the goal, what you reach, will depend on the strength of your sadhana. Isn't it? Whatever strength the sadhana has got, that will come, the result also. Accordingly, the result will come. Because whatever you achieve in this world through your effort, the result will also will depend on the effort only. Some people can put a lot of effort. For example, if you look into Markandeya Maharshi, the effort he has put in. You see, Markandeya Maharshi was a very powerful sage, isn't it? According to that, he has his result. But similarly for us also, our sadhana, if you compare, it's not very powerful, is it? What's our sadhana? We are struggling with our 16 rounds a day. So from there you can see our sadhana is very, very limited. So accordingly, the results from our sadhana will also be very limited. Some people say that they are finding difficult with 16. Some people say we'll make it 4. Somebody says we'll make it 1. Someone says like that. According to their strength, they are doing the sadhana. According to their strength. So when the sadhana is like that, sadhyam, the goal is also, will have its benefit from that also. But this vastu, akhandada, akhandada means this unbroken consciousness, is not the after effect of an effort. It does not come from the effort. That vastu, akhanda vastu, it's always the way it is. However it is the same way it will be. It will remain like that. So, when this will only happen, this realization, what the sages are talking about, like we talked about Shukha Brahmarshi and others, that has not come through sadhana. None of them has come through sadhana. How did that happen to them then? How did they reach that state? That has happened through knowledge. How did that knowledge? Due to cultivation of spiritual knowledge and preparing themselves for that and finally realizing that the truth, what is inside, is that unbroken consciousness outside. What they are experiencing as pure consciousness, akhandatvam, is what is inside them, that they realized it but through process of knowledge. That's what has happened to them. And when from there also, in their progress of spiritual path, they heard, they prepared themselves ready through austerities, penances, in various ways, they come to that state, and finally, when they heard from their spiritual master, immediately their swarupam they realized. When they realized their swarupam, they came to know that that they are not this material body anymore, rather they are pure consciousness. That has happened to them. And that didn't happen through sadhana. In other words, what is happening inside is they are recognizing their identity, who they are. Is it not? Who they are. You can keep on doing sadhana for a long time. This may not happen. This will only happen when you realize who you are. I am always thinking I am this body and I am doing the sadhana. What will happen? I will still be having the sadhana and I will be having the body. Body won't go like that. Body will go when you take this knowledge on board, thinking that, realizing that I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not meant for my enjoyment, I have nothing to do with this body, all these realizations inside. That means, to realize that my current personality, current individuality is not real. Is not real. To come to that realization finally, and my actual identity is unbroken pure consciousness. That shift of this identity from this body to that unbroken consciousness happens, or a recognition there happens inside me, that I have nothing to do with this body, bodily identity is false, and this has to happen inside. When that happens, you see that the bodily identity once for all goes, and your identity, sarvabhuta hridayam, happens later. Sarvabhuta hridayam happens later. That it is something similar, Upanishad says, something similar to like this, that when you wake up from the sleep, you are dreaming in the sleep. You are dreaming in the sleep. And when you woke up, when you woke up after the deep sleep or after a dream sleep or a deep sleep, you have woken up. And when you woke up, what happened? You realize that in that deep sleep, your ego was not there. That we can know that, isn't it? It's not difficult. That when we wake up in the morning from a deep sleep in the night, immediately you know that this I, whom I am whole day running around as I, didn't exist at that time. I didn't exist. Is it not? What didn't exist? The ego didn't exist in that deep sleep. So for a short period of time, whatever it may be, when you were in deep sleep, you were able to shed your identity, I. Is it not? That deep sleep state, you have shed your identity. You have shed your identity. And you realized at that time, this thing called personality or individuality is a false thing. Is it not? That's the proof of that. That you are able to leave it behind. Because if it is genuine, this ego, if it is genuine, ahamda or ahangaram, if it is genuine, it should be there in the deep sleep. The fact that it disappeared in the deep sleep, like the mind, shows that it's not a real thing. Shows that it's not a real thing. It is something that comes and goes. Anything that comes, it will go. Similarly, that is the principle. Anything that comes, it will go. Similarly, ego has come and ego has to leave one day. So at least at that point that you realize that in the deep sleep state, my real identity is Brahman. Brahman realization, that's what happened. So similarly, those who have woken up to that reality in the vacant state, those who have come to that reality in the vacant state, Krishna calls it as Jnana Nishtha. In the Bhagavatam, he calls that word as Jnana Nishtha. One who is situated in that state. And Krishna says that he is very dear to me, who is in that state. Jnani Priyatamo Mama. Priyatamo Mama. In Bhagavad Gita also we said that, isn't it? Udara Sarvaye Vaide Jnani Tvatmeva Memadam Astido Sahiyuktatma Mameva Uttamam Gadim. In that, I think it was in the fourth chapter, isn't it? Oh. Yeah. And you will notice there what Krishna says. So many things he mentions about the jnani there. That he is so dear to me, Krishna says, that idara sarva evaide jnani tvalpmeiva me matam. 7:18. Astita sahi yuktalpma mameva uttamam gadim. In the previous verse, Krishna is saying, Tesham Jnani, that Jnani, Nitya Yukto, Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate, his bhakti is proper bhakti. That jnani's bhakti is proper bhakti. And priyohi jnanino thyartham aham sacha mama priyaha. Krishna is saying there, I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. That devotee. Who is that? One of these, the wise one who is in full knowledge, in union with me. See that? One who is in full knowledge, in union with me. Not separated. Not the one who is separated. One who is in union with me, Krishna is saying, of those wise who is in full knowledge, in union with me, is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. And you will see, so that is how much Krishna values spiritual realization. He is saying that jnani is dear to me because he is in union with me. That is his qualification. And therefore, udara sarvaye vaite jnani tvalpaiva me matam astida sahayuktalma mameva uttamam gadim. In other words, here Krishna's point is, jnani, when he becomes a devotee, he is the proper devotee. Jnani, when he becomes a devotee, he is first class devotee. That's why in the next verse, bahunam janmanam ande jnanavanmam prabadhyade vasudeva sarvamiti samahalma sudurlabha. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So you can sense from that Krishna's point, that why did he say like this? Then the first class devotee, in him there is no dvaidam. That's what it means. In union with me means, if there is no union with Krishna, there is dvaidam. Or in a first class devotee, there is no dvaidam. Then people will ask the question, if there is no dvaidam, how is it possible to have bhakti? Some people have this argument, that unless we are two, separate from Krishna, how can we have devotion to him? So, here what happens is, the definition of that priyam changes in this union. Union, definition of priyam. Priyam means that actual priyam is getting freed from the duality. Getting yourself freed from the duality is the priyam. So, and that is why that advaita jnanam, that oneness with Krishna, is stressed here. And therefore, and that bhakti through advaitam is on a higher level than bhakti through dvaitam. You have to take Bhagavatam very seriously and look at it. When he mentioned, who, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, vadandida tattvaidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Krishna. In other words, advaita bhakti, bhakti which is in union with Krishna, is on a higher platform than the bhakti which is executed in dvaitam. Dvaitam means that I am separate from Krishna, my identity is separate from Krishna. Everybody, majority, 99% or even 99.9% in this world is in dvaita bhakti. Therefore you can't write it off. Dvaita bhakti is there. Everybody is, only very very few among them who have gone very high in spiritually and who have reached that state of union with Krishna is in advaita bhakti. See that? That is why Vedam, we respect Shankaracharya as much as we respect Madhvacharya. Why? Madhvacharya propagated dvaita bhakti. Shankaracharya propagated advaita bhakti. So as much as we respect Shankaracharya, we respect Madhvacharya also. Because 99.99% is in dvaita bhakti. You can't say no. Everyone in this world, practically everybody, therefore Madhvacharya came and preached dvaita bhakti. Dvaitam, advaitam, isn't it? Two different sides. We will not get too much into the Siddhantam side. I am saying this to understand that when you study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see these things very clearly mentioned there. And so many acharyas have spoken. You think that all the acharyas are fighting each other to prove their point? No, they don't. In Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is there. The difference is, depends on the people who are practicing it. So the differences in the Siddhantam is due to the people who are practicing it, not due to the acharya. Madhvacharya himself, who is a very strong Dvaiti, he comes from an Advaita family. He was trained up by the Advaitis. Ramanujacharya was trained up by the Advaitis. Why then they preached Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam and all that? Because he realized that a certain people find that difficult to realize that Advaita Bhakti. It is impossible for them. Most of us, it's not possible. That to be oneness with Krishna, if you say that, we'll find it very, very hard to digest that, isn't it? But Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnani Tvalpmeiva Me Matam, he is in union with me, he is not separate from me. He said this to Uddhava later, isn't it? That Uddhava, you are not different from me, you are same as me. So whenever you see these differences, you have to know this, it is based on the sadhaka, not on the acharya. Acharya is not who is determining. Acharyas have come. At that particular instance, Madhvacharya had to preach Dvaita Bhakti to the world because people are moving away from the Vaidika Samskaram. So Madhvacharya came and preached Dvaitam and made everyone as much as possible as a devotee. He wanted to follow that route. Similarly, Ramanuja also did the same thing. So this Advaitam, Dvaitam, these are all there, but in that state of Advaita Jnanam, that itself is very higher bhakti it is. And Dvaitam, on a philosophical level, you can't bring Dvaitam and Advaitam together. They are on an opposite level. But para bhakti state, this Dvaita bhakti goes away, it becomes Advaita bhakti. Bhakti is there, but instead of Dvaita bhakti, it becomes Advaita bhakti. In that state, there is priyam for everything in this creation. Everything in this creation. Because if you have become this world, that's what happens at that time, isn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam, you are present everywhere in everything, then would you not feel that priyam to everything? You won't feel any exception to that because you have become everything. And priyam comes from within. Priyam comes from within oneself. So, that is, if you remember, we talked about this word ananya bhakti, and that's what that is. Ananya bhakti. Anyam, if there is no anyam, what will remain there is only priyam. Anyam means separated one. Sri Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutram the same thing. He says the same thing. So like this, Krishna has spoken about the knowledge, the highest level to Uddhava in the last few verses. It was at that time Uddhava asked the question about good and bad. What is good and what is bad? Gunam, dosham. Uddhava wanted to know from Krishna. So you can see, Krishna is talking from the highest level and Uddhava comes down and asking questions from a lower level. Once you have reached that state of Advaita Bhakti, there is no gunam, there is no dosham, isn't it? Gunam dosham is in Dvaitam, not in the Advaita stage. So Uddhava is coming down to a lower level asking question to Krishna. Krishna asking Krishna, Krishna, what is gunam means and what is dosham? He asked the question. You will see that Uddhava is asking that question. We are not going through that all, because a lot of that we have discussed last time, I think. That Uddhava Acham, that so many things Krishna, Uddhava has mentioned there. If you look verse 28, Yamakkathivida Prokto, I'll just read through those verses, Uddhava's questions. Shri Uddhava Vacha, Yamakativida Prokto Nemo Varikarshana, Kashama, Kodama, Krishna, Katiti Chadri Prabho, Kim Danam, Kim Tapashauriam, Kim Satyam Kadamuchede, Kastyaga, Kim Dhanam Cheshtam, Koyatya, Kadakshinaha, Kajadakshina, Pumsakim Swidbalam Shriman, Bhagolabaschakeshava, Ka Vidya, Kri, Para, Ka Shri, Kim Sukham Dukhamevacha. Kapandida kaschamurga, kapandha ulpadaschaka, కస్వర్గో నరక కస్విద్ కోబంధురకిం గృహం క ఆఢ్య కో దరిద్రో వా కృపణ క ఈశ్వరాహ ఏదాన్ ప్రశ్నాన్ మమ బ్రూహి విపరీతాంశ్చ సత్పతే.
ఆల్ దీస్ వర్సెస్, దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ వర్సెస్ ఉద్ధవాస్ క్వశ్చన్స్ టు కృష్ణ. ఆఫ్టర్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్ ది హాయెస్ట్ లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ రియలైజేషన్, ఉద్ధవా ఇస్ కమింగ్ డౌన్ అండ్ ఆస్కింగ్ దీస్ క్వశ్చన్స్. సో దాట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఆన్సర్ టు దాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్ సో మెనీ థింగ్స్. హీ సైస్ 12 థింగ్స్ హీ హాస్ స్పోకన్, మెయిన్లీ యమం అండ్ నియమం, వాట్ దే కాల్ అస్ యమం నియమం. జనరల్ టర్మ్స్ హీ సైస్ హియర్ దట్ అహింస, శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాంచ, ఐల్ జస్ట్ టచ్ అండ్ గో దోస్ థింగ్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ బిఫోర్. అహింస, సత్యం, ట్రూత్ఫుల్నెస్, నాన్ వైలెన్స్, నాట్ స్టీలింగ్ ఎనీవన్స్ ప్రాపర్టీ, డిటాచ్మెంట్ టు ద వరల్డ్, షైనెస్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్ సర్టన్ థింగ్స్, అండ్ నాట్ అక్యుములేటింగ్ ఎక్సెసివ్ వెల్త్, అండ్ సీరియస్నెస్ అబౌట్ వేదం, సెలిబసి, సైలెన్స్ అండ్ స్టడీనెస్ ఇన్ ది ధర్మం అండ్ ఇన్ ది ట్రూత్ఫుల్నెస్, టాలరెన్స్, పేషెన్స్ అండ్ ఫియర్లెస్నెస్. All this is yamam. That is what it is. There you can see, first question, yama kathivida prokto. Yamam is all these things. These are all yamam. All this what we have spoken. 12 things. Yamam and niyamam, he says. Then, so ahimsa, non-violence, satyam, truthfulness, not stealing anything from others. Stealing is not direct stealing only. There's a stealing is not only thief. Stealing people's wealth in a very polished way, people do that, isn't it? Like all these, we shouldn't name them, but they are the most honored institutions in this country and many places. They know what they wanted from you and they know how to take it off you. There's no logic in any of those things when they do their business, is there? Whether it's gas or electricity or water or anything, the way they conduct their business is totally without any truthfulness in them. And when you see, I know it's not something you have to look at. This company is just one example. Recently, Centrica, they own the British Gas, isn't it? And they made huge profits. And they are saying, putting people into difficulty. And they are saying the logic is that the shareholders need that profit to support. Is this the way to run a business? That if a group of people whose greed cannot be satisfied, and for that the rest of the whole population has to dance for that. Is this a style of business? You call this as business? This is why the modern business is such a rascal life, way of life. There is no justification in anything. So that is stealing, it is. People stealing. They put you into an awkward situation, you have no choice. And they will have their own way of justifying it, if you read their justification for what they are doing. And many, many old people die in this country because of cold weather. They die. They couldn't afford heating. They couldn't afford heat. Every time there is report about it, country is not poor, but the greed is big. That's the problem. That they could protect people, but they wouldn't do it because of the situations. This is only one example. It's equally true with telephones, it's equally true with water, it's electricity, everything. This is government companies are able to do this. What to talk about private companies? There is no limit for them, is there? Because for them there is no limit. Like this, all this modern business, when you look at, you can see it is stealing, basically. Krishna is saying that, so we think as some poor man, he has been caught for shoplifting. They put him into prison. Actually, these are the people who should go to the prison first, not the one who is shoplifting. The man who shoplifted, he has taken some worth, 5 or 10 pounds worth, and he has walked out. And they say, they put it in the newspaper, everything, oh, we caught him. What about these ones who are doing this? And huge amounts of money is shared. Bankers, they exactly do the same thing. Nobody is able to do anything about it. Is that not stealing? Is that not stealing? And these are the people who we are trying to make them devotees. What chance have they got? If this is their activity, Krishna is saying,
out of the 12 yamam niyamam, specifically saying what are the yamam? Ahimsa, non-violence, satyam, truthfulness, not stealing from others. Nisangada means no attachment to anything, always in a detached mood to live in this world. Then Lajja means shyness. Shyness of what? Shyness of doing something like this. To feel shy about it, that I've done something so bad. Remember, Ashwatthama, when he sent the Brahmastram to kill Parikshit, finally Arjuna and Krishna tied him down and brought him in front of Draupadi. Draupadi, he could not even lift his head because he felt so shy about what he did. Is it not? You see in the Bhagavatam, you will read that. That how Arjuna, Ashwatthama could not even lift his head for what he did. That is that lajja or shyness in him. Then next thing, so all this yamam, if you look, out of the 12, there is not one among them. They haven't got even one of them. What to talk about the 12? And collecting excessive wealth to live in this world. Unnecessarily. Some people get crazy about wealth. Continuously earning, and I don't know, some kind of madness in their head goes in. Things like that. Attention in the Vedam, Vedic injunctions. Celibacy, maunam, and steadiness in dharmam and in truthfulness. Always steady about that. Tolerance and freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. All this is called yamam. Because Arjuna, Uddhava asked that question. Yama kadhivida prokto. What is yamam? How many types of... Because Uddhava asked the question, Krishna answered it. That's all. Nothing more than that. Because Uddhava asked that. Krishna was not interested in teaching them to Uddhava because Uddhava's state is different. The only reason, because in the Bhagavatam it comes and Uddhava asked the question. And what is Niyamam? So all these qualities are Yamam. Then Niyamam is purification of one's own body, always in a pure state, mentally purified, then chanting the holy name, always mantra jabam, tapasya, austerity, performing sacrifices, homam, yagam, and sajjanobadesham, taking instructions from the devotees and pious people seriously, shastram, and attention in the shastram, and giving attention to the guests, atithi salkaram, or giving them the respect for the devotees, deity worship, going on pilgrimages, tirthadanam, parobhagara pravarti, that means giving help to others and situated in that way, always in a peaceful state, santosham, and serving the spiritual master, guru sevanam. All these are niyamam. All these 12 are niyamam. So 12 niyamam, 12 topics, yamam and niyamam, Krishna has spoken here. But this yamam, niyamam, you have to know also that they are, Krishna says there, that in the, you will see, and ahimsa shri bhagavan vacham, ahimsa satyam asteyam, asangohri asanjayaha, astikyam brahmacharyam cha, maunam sairyam kshama abhayam, shaujam jabastapo homam shraddha adityam madarchanam. So the verse 33 is yamam, and verse 34 is niyamam. Yamam and niyamam. Shaujam javastabo homam shraddha adityam madarchanam tirthadanam pararteha tushti acharya sevanam edeyamasa niyamam ubhayor dvadashas pradaha. So yamam niyamam, 12 of them. Pumsa upasidatata yathakramam duhandihi. Then shamoman nishtade buddhir dama indriya samyamam tidiksha dukkha sammarsham jikho upastavjayo dhridi. So here this yamam and niyamam, for those who have material desires, for them, Yamaniyamam will help them to go to heavenly planets. That's what Yamaniyamam does. And those who have no material desires, this will, Yamaniyamam will purify their heart, purify their mind. That is the purpose of Yamaniyamam. So those who have material desires, if they have this Yamaniyamam, they will go to the heavenly planets. Those who have Yamaniyamam. And those who have no material desires, but if they still have this Yamam Niyamam in their life, it will purify their heart. Manashuddhi. Manashuddhi will happen to them. And that in turn will lead to liberation. So, these things are Yamanayamam is a sadhana for taking us to the platform of knowledge, of self-realization. It is only a sadhana for that. So, so somebody asks you, someone you have met whom you don't know, and you happen to speak to him about Krishna consciousness, and he asks you, what should I do? Then this is the sadhana what you have to tell him first. This yamam and name. Are you ready for this? That's the first thing you have to ask that person. So after, this is what you have to, so in other words, what should I do if somebody asks? You can tell him these 12 things, yamam, neyamam, these two verses, and explain that to him what it means. If he's willing to follow, there is some hope. But if you think that, I'm not going to listen to any of these things, but I'll chant Hare Krishna, you can sit and chant Hare Krishna, nothing is going to happen. You'll be chanting for the rest of the life. What can you do? This is, many people are misunderstanding about this. They're thinking that there is, you don't need all this is because we are chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't work like that. Everything is attached with certain strings attached to it. So otherwise Krishna doesn't have to say these things in the Bhagavadam. So you can see gunam dosham. After talking about all these things, Krishna has also spoken about guna dosham to Arjuna, to Uddhava, isn't it? He says, gunam and dosham, he is talking about it. And finally he says to Uddhava, Krishna has this nature. After talking about everything, finally he has to talk about the knowledge again. Otherwise it won't be complete. So that's what you find there. That ete yama asaniyamam 35 ubhayor dvadasha smridaha pumsam upasidastadha yatha kamam duhandihi shamoman nishtade buddher demam indriya samyamam tidiksha dukha sammarsho jikham upastajayo dhridhi dandanyasa paramdanam kamatyagatapasmridam svabhava vijayam shaviryam satyam ja samadarshanam Kritam jasunradavani kavibhi parikirtita karmasya sangama shaujam tyagam sanyasamuchyade dharma ishtam dhanam nirinam yajnyoham bhagavattama dakshina jnana sandesha pranayama param balam bhagoma aishwaro bhavo labho mal bhakti ruptama vidyalpani vidabhado jugupsahri akarmasu shri gunanairabhekshadhyam sukham dukkha sukhatyaya dukham kama sukhapeksha Pandido Bandamokshavid, Murko Dehadyaham Buddhi, Pandhaman Nigamas Pradaha, Ulpadas Chittavikshebam, Surga Satoguno Deyaha, Naragastamamunaho, Bandur Guriraham Sakhe, Graham Shariram Manushyam, Gunadio Adhyamuchede, Daridroyasta Sandushta, Kripanoyo Ajidendriya, Gunesh Asaktadhirisho, Gunasango Vibayayaham, Edamudhavade Prashna, Sarve Sadhunirubidaha, Kim Varnidena Bhuna Lakshanam Gunadosha Yoho Gunadosha Drashir Dosha Gunas Tubhaya Varjidaha. That's our chapter. Krishna finishes like that. He says there that finally Krishna says that everybody needs a sadhana. This is the sadhana. Sadhana is not only chanting Hare Krishna. That's a misunderstanding. This is all sadhana. All this what is spoken here is sadhana. But if Krishna does not indicate the goal to us properly, what will happen is we will keep on staying in the sadhana level. We will keep thinking that this is absolute. These things, what is spoken is not absolute. We will start thinking this is absolute and we will hold on to that and stay there. That is why at the end of everything Krishna keeps on coming back and telling us the truth. He talks to us about the final goal again and again, isn't it? For this reason only, because when you speak, in many other scriptures in the world, if you look, these things are spoken very much and people get stuck with it. You can notice that also. They think if you have all these things you have become perfect. That's what they think about it. Many other scriptures they do like that. And that's where the difficulty is. But Krishna is saying to us, this yamam yamam and all this sadhana, what Krishna has spoken is only a sadhana which will help you in your realization. But the goal is different. Goal is different. If it is not spoken, if this goal is not spoken, what will happen is we'll hold on to this yama niyamam. These are more like instructions for us, isn't it? Like rules and regulations. People like it very much. So Krishna doesn't want to make spiritual life just rules and regulations. It has to be based on the knowledge. That's why he's spoken like that. That's why finally, in the 45th verse, he says there that Eda Uddhavade Prashna. Therefore, he's saying Eda Uddhavade Prashna Sarve Sadhu Nirupidaha. Sadhus have spoken all these things. Then he says, Kim Varnidena Bahu Bahuna. What's the point in discussing about it a lot? He says, why should I go on talking about it a lot? Kim Varnidena Bahuna. Of what? Lakshanam guna doshayo. Gunam and dosham, it's lakshanam. Symptoms of gunam dosham. Why should I keep talking about it? He says, why? Guna dosha drashir dosham gunastu ubhayavarjita. Gunastu ubhayavarjita. He says here, what is the point? He says, gunam dosham, talking about it. No one thing, he says like this to Uddhava. Uddhava, to think that this intelligence in you, which thinks that this is gunam, this is dosham, that itself is dosham. See, to think that something is gunam, something is dosham, itself is dosham. Instead, you should go beyond the gunam and dosham, he says. You should go beyond the gunam and dosham and realize that oneness with this advaya jnanam. Jnanam, which is advayam, and that is gunam. That is the real gunam. So, this gunam dosham, Krishna is saying, that gunadoshas drishir dosham. Gunadosha drishir dosham. Gunastu ubhaya varjidaha. That's very one line is enough. Gunadosha drishir dosham. That means all these gunam dosham what Krishna has spoken here, don't get stuck in that. That's only in that level. You need it though. You need it for purification. Because if you are doing all the dodgy dealings, and then you are chanting Hare Krishna and saying, why am I not making any spiritual progress? The answer is there. That's the answer for that. Guna dosha drishir dosham. But finally, because Ekadasha Skandam is the very cream of Vedantam, isn't it? So finally Krishna says, guna dosha drishir dosham. Both this finally Uddhava, because Uddhava is 125 years old. Krishna knows Uddhava is not going to worry about all these things anymore. So he says to Uddhava, guna dosha drishir dosham. To see this gunam dosham itself is a dosham. And then what does he say? Gunastu upaya varjita. Best thing to do is go beyond, transcend gunam and dosham. That is best. That is the best. Transcending them. Not getting stuck in these things is the best thing. Transcending means that you don't have to anymore take into account these things. In other words, you will not do anything wrong then. You've gone beyond than that, isn't it? You've gone beyond than that. That means this will not have any influence on you. Because whatever you do will be completely in line with the rules, what's laid out. Because you're realizing the truth, aren't you? So naturally, you won't break the law. So that's what he says here. So so if it is like that, Krishna says here, whatever we have spoken so far, it was all spoken on the platform of the mind. Mental platform. All this is on the mental platform. It's on the mental platform. The reason is, mind is contradiction. Mind is a contradiction. Therefore, you will see any advice or instruction when Krishna gives, that's also contradiction. Because mind is in contradiction, any instructions when Krishna gives will also be in contradiction. Only then it will work. This you have to, you will get to know if you analyze it properly. That the nature of the mind is always contradiction, isn't it? Suppose somebody says something to you, immediately your mind will go in the opposite direction and think, is he saying the right thing? Opposite thing will come from inside you. It's the nature that of the mind. So because the mind is contradictions like that, when the instructions come from Krishna, it has to be in contradiction. Only then it will work with the contradicting mind. And then it has to be spoken in contradiction And from there, your intelligence has to filter it out, the right thing. That is how realization comes. So many places, Krishna will say, speak to Uddhava and Arjuna, and you will get a feeling that, why not straightforward answer? Always answering in contradiction. This is necessary, because mind is contradiction. Therefore, answer is also in contradiction, and if you give an answer in contradiction, it suits the mind better. Mind will do that contradiction, and from there, with your intelligence, you will pick out the right thing from there. That requires that purified intelligence. That is where sadhana helps. All this sadhana will help you at that stage. Only then, so why this gunam dosham was spoken so far? Naturally, if it is spoken like that, we will get a doubt every time, isn't it? Is it good or is it bad? Naturally, doubt will come to us. And if it is like that, should I give up all these things? This question will come. Gunam dosham, when it is spoken, natural way the doubt will come from that. Why Krishna has spoken guna dosham so far, is that naturally we'll get a doubt from that. And does it mean that we have to give up everything? Because after finally Krishna says, guna dosha smridir drishir dosho gunastu ubhaya varjita. So a doubt can come to your mind. Oh, okay, if Krishna is saying like that, say you are following all these things to a very high level, and then you will think that, oh, Krishna is saying you don't have to worry about it, but he has spoken still all these things. So that is the first question straight away Uddhava is asking in the next chapter. If you look, you will see there what the first question is. Shri Uddhava uvacham vidhischa pradishedascha nigamo ishwarasya te avayakshade aravindaksha gunam dosham cha karmanam varnashrama vikalpam cha pradilomanulomajam dravyadeshavayakkalan surgam naragamevacham gunadoshabhida drishti andarenajavastava nishrayasakatham rinam nishedham vidhilakshanam pidradeva manushyanam vedachashustaveshwara shreyas upalabdhyate sadhya sadhanayorabhi ഗുണദോഷവിദാദൃഷ്ടിർ നിഗമാതേന ഹി സ്വതാഹ നിഗമേന അപവാദശ്ച വിദായ ഇതിഹ ഭ്രമ. ഈവൺ ആഫ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്ക്, വി വുഡ് ഹാവ് ആക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്. കൃഷ്ണ സെഡ് ഇൻ ദ പ്രീവിയസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ, ബട്ട് ഉദ്ധവ ഡിഡ്ൻ ഗിവ് അപ്. ഉദ്ധവ കെപ്റ്റ് ആസ്കിംഗ് എഗെയിൻ. ഉദ്ധവ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദ 45th വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ചാപ്റ്റർ, ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ, ഏത ഉദ്ധവദേ പ്രശ്ന സർവേ സാധു നിരൂപിതാഹ കിം വർണിതേന ബഹുന ലക്ഷണം ഗുണദോഷയോ. കൃഷ്ണ ഡി നോട്ട് ഹാവ് മച്ച് ഓഫ് എൻ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ടു ഡിസ്കസ് ഗുണദോഷം ടു സച്ച് എൻ എക്സ്റ്റെൻഡ്, ബിക്കോസ് ഹി ഫെൽറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദർ ആർ സോ മെനി അതർ സ്ക്രിപ്ചേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ് ഹു ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഗുണദോഷം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഗുണദോഷം കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് നോട്ട് വാല്യൂയിങ് എ ലോട്ട് അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്. ബട്ട് ഇഫ് യു ആസ്ക് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് നെസസറി? യെസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നെസസറി, ബിക്കോസ് അതർവൈസ് you won't move further in the spiritual life. That's the problem. So therefore Krishna says that guna dosha drishir dosho gunastu ubhaya varjita. In one simple line he closed that chapter, the 19th chapter. It was then that Uddhava asked this question. Uddhava's question was vidischa pradeshedascha, if you don't give this instructions in this way, right and wrong, good and bad, if that instructions were not given like that, or this is the right thing to do or this is the wrong thing to do, how ordinary people will escape? How can they act properly in this world? That was the Uddhava's question. How, because ordinary people, they are not discussing about Vedantam, isn't it? General class of people in this world, they are not very much interested in spiritual life also. Very few people are interested in spiritual life, isn't it? Majority of the people just want to live in this world, get through somehow, and willing to accept all the happiness and distress of this world. They are worried about their mortgage, pensions, and family, and all these kind of things. That's what. And so therefore, such people, because they are not transcendently interested, transcendental life, or ultimate goal in life, if they are not told about these things, they will go completely out of control, which you can see already happening. Majority of the people find even difficult to take yamam and niyamam, or to talk about self-realization. Self-realization is only for Krishna is talking about those who are very serious in spiritual life. That's for them self-realization. Whereas yamam niyamam is necessary in a society so that the society is peaceful. One do not exploit somebody else. That's the idea behind it basically. Otherwise human nature is to exploit. As soon as they get an opportunity, exploit others. Isn't it? This is very deep in down in the nature of the human breed. Animals even don't do it. At least they'll be, if they get their food, they'll eat and happily and go and lie down somewhere and sleep. But human mind and brain is such that it will be planning how to exploit, how to exploit, how to exploit. Recently there was one interesting sort of a movie about Mongolia. You can watch that if you like. What it does is, Mongolia is a place, you know, south of China. And people who live there, they live under minus 40 degrees or something like that, the temperature there. Very difficult place. They eat camel's meat and drink some sort of alcohol there. The life is real hell in every way. Real hell it is. And nobody goes there. No, it's a sort of a place where there is not much of a, you can say, civilization-wise anything happening in this country, Mongolia. Recently, somehow they found out there is a lot of copper and gold in that place. And the amount of copper and gold is so huge there. The whole country is up in arms with it. They are saying now, and they have started inviting companies to come. So, naturally, you know the famous mining companies, like there's few in London registered, few in Australia, few in China, they're all there. They're all there. They're saying, we want to help you. Up to now, there was no need to help. Now, everybody wants to help Mongolia. If you see that documentary that BBC has produced about Mongolia, it's only about 30 minutes. It's on the BBC iPlayer. Just watch it and see for yourself that nature in the human nature. They all want to be there. So the Mongolians have understood that they are all come to cheat us. They've understood that. So what they've done, some of them are of course educated in America and Europe and all that. So they know how modern business works. So what they've done, they have made some contract with some companies. And when they've started to come to do the mining, they completely tore off all the agreement. And they say to him, we have to renegotiate everything, we have to put the prices up. So these ones who are going there with this greed of making money, and they are realizing that there is money to be made, because once that, apparently what they are saying is, that if that country starts mining, copper prices have gone so high in the market because of all the manufacturing going on in China and other places, that copper is like gold now. And there is plenty of gold as well in their mines. So copper and gold together, country is going to be so rich. And there's only 3 million people. So the Germans who are gone there with the Mercedes, they've already opened their branch there in that place. And has parked all the most expensive Mercedes are parked there. And the salesman is saying, in this country nobody will be driving any other cars, he said, except Mercedes. And that to the latest models they'll be driving very soon. And most of them are sitting in their huts there and eating this camel meat and drinking some kind of alcohol, I don't know. Because it's so cold there, that's their life there. Just like people who live in the extreme cold weather conditions, isn't it? They have a very difficult life in that way. That's their life. So you can see the human nature here. We say we want to help. What is this help, what people are doing? Except to exploit and see what can I get out of it. That's what they are looking for. So this is the society. This is so Krishna knows, but so that a society don't become like that, therefore this guna dosham is spoken. Gunam and dosham is spoken for this reason only. If you follow this guna dosham, what will happen is that at least some sanity will be there in the human society. Otherwise we will be like animals. Everyone will do what they can to get out of this best deal, isn't it? So Krishna says here that Uddhava says to Krishna, if you don't say what is right and what is wrong to the world, will they know, is there any other way they can escape? Because Uddhava knows our nature very much. That's why Uddhava said that. So he asked that question, and he says to Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, after all, finally, the Vedam itself is your words, isn't it? Is that not your words? And is it not necessary to follow Vedic injunctions? And after all, Vedam is Krishna's words, isn't it? And is it not based on gunam and dosham, all your instructions in the Vedam? Because Vedam also has vidhi nishedam. See, guna dosham, terminology, gunam dosham, is another word is do's and don'ts, vidhi nishedam. Vidhi nishedam means do's and don'ts, which is based on guna dosham, good and bad, isn't it? Good and bad. So, you have told, Uddhava says to Krishna, not to see gunam and dosham is gunam. That's the last line, isn't it? In the chapter, Uddhava says to Krishna says to Uddhava, guna dosha drishir dosham gunastu ubhaya varjidaha. You have said, Krishna says, not seeing gunam dosham is gunam. You have said that, haven't you? He said. So, if you have not seen gunam and dosham properly, Uddhava is asking the question, the dharmam what is prescribed in the Vedam, Vaidika dharmam, how we will be able to follow that dharmam if he is not, does not know gunam, follow, does not follow gunam and dosham? How can he follow the dharmam and adharmam spoken in the Vedam? Which is a very genuine question. Suppose you are supposed to be followers of the Vedas, and if you are following the Vedam and the Vedic injunctions, you have to know, Vedic injunctions are, they are telling us, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. Like that, vidhi and nishedam. Vidhi is to do, nishedam is not to do. So many Vedic injunctions are there. In order to do that vidhi nishedam, to follow, or to follow Vedam, should you not know gunam and dosham? This is Uddhava's question. Yeah? Uddhava's question is very interesting question, isn't it? Because then he is asking the question, unless you follow dharmam and adharmam based on the Vedam, to free yourself from adharmam, adharmam means irreligious life, to free yourself from adharmam and always freeing from adharmam and to follow dharmam, without these two, how will liberation come? Because liberation, if you look at this way, dharmam, artham, kama, moksham, isn't it? So moksham finally to happen, dharmam is necessary. Everything is based on the dharmam. The foundation is dharmam. Based on dharmam, you can have artham. That is the Vedic way, isn't it? That based on dharmam, you can have artham. Therefore, that's why this Prabhupada used to say this modern business, he said one should never enter into it, this modern business life, because there is no dharmam in there. In everything, it's like that. So based on dharmam, artham you can earn, one can earn. Based on dharmam, you can fulfill your kamam, desires. If these three, if it is done like that, dharmam is the foundation. So dharmam, artham, kamam, if these three things are followed properly, then the last thing, moksham, is offered to him by Vedam. Vedam says he is qualified for liberation. So if it is like this, if you take this four feet of dharmam, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, 25% dharmam, 25% artham, 25% kamam, 25% moksham. If you have this 75%, you have to get it. Then the last 25% Krishna will offer to you. This is the Vedic injunctions. The first 75% we have to earn by living through dharmam, artham, kamam, in the proper way specified by the Vedam. If you live that, the last 25% moksham Krishna offers to you. Liberation. This is why dharmartha kama moksham. Chatur purushartham they call it. Purushartham. Based on that, Vedam is structured. Vedam is structured. So that is why he is asking this question. That it's a very subtle question, this is. Because two types of people you see in this world. Two types of people, isn't it? So a group of people who know all the rules and regulations. They know all the rules and regulations. That is, who knows the dharmam. The other type of people who have taken to it that who have gone beyond this yamam niyamam, and they follow in the way sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvabhebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. Like the way Krishna has spoken, that who has gone beyond the dharmam and beyond vidhi nishedam, everything, and who are fully situated in the platform of the soul. These are the two types of people Krishna is talking about. Krishna doesn't talk about all these exploiters and cheaters and liars. Doesn't want to discuss about it. He's talking about people in the spiritual life. One group of people who knows the vidhi nishedam, these two people do exist in this world, isn't it? One group who are completely follow the Vedic injunctions, and they have very hesitation in breaking the law. They will strictly, rigidly follow the vidhi nishedam or injunctions of the Vedam seriously. And they know everything about the Yamanayamam. And they follow that in their own life. Another group who says, like in the Bhagavatam, who understood that very difficult to follow Yamanayamam, but they have surrendered everything to Krishna. They have surrendered everything to Krishna. In other words, dharmam, adharmam, they are not looking to it anymore. They can't take it very... That does not mean that they are always in adharmam. You have to know that. Because they are influenced by the knowledge of the self. In other words, Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it has affected them so much and they have lost interest in this world. Once you have lost interest in this world, the chances of committing adharmam is little. Because we are interested in the world, that is why we become turn into adharmam, isn't it? But once you have lost interest in the world and you have got interested in the knowledge what Krishna has spoken about the soul, naturally then they won't study very much about the dharmam adharmam, because they have seen something beyond dharmam adharmam. That's what has happened to them. They have realized it, that dharmam adharmam is only a particular stage. I am not going to live in this world to exploit others, nor do I have any selfish interest behind my existence here. I want to free myself from this body once for all and not to come back here. If you have come to that stage, that person is not very interested in the Yamanayamam or dharmam adharmam. So these two, they are the jnanis who are going in that direction through the jnanamargam. So he can see here that one group who is staying within the boundary of this vidhi nishedam, this first group, who is staying within the boundary of the vidhi nishedam, and the second group who have kept vidhi nishedam away and who have transcended that, not giving up, they have transcended, in other words. Not giving up, they have transcended that. They are two different things, isn't it? So, and who are situated in that and staying in that state, situated in the platform of the soul and fully realized in that state and satisfied in the self-realization process. There are people in both categories in this world even today. We may not see them. That's another thing. There are people in this world even today who follow these two categories. People are there. Some people you will see, they are very hesitant to do certain things in life, and they will, to a very high degree, they follow the laws of this dharmam, adharmam, or vidhi nishedam, guna dosham, and all these things. And there's another group who had reached that state, they don't want to spend a lot of time analyzing dharmam, adharmam, or vidhi nishedam. Rather, they have seen attracted to the truth more, and they want to get released from this existence in this world, in other words, from this body. So, and then there are people who don't belong to either of these. The third category, who doesn't belong to either of these two categories. For them, they have no vidhi nishedam. They have no vidhi nishedam. And they also heard about this knowledge about the truth. They have heard about that. And if you, this is important thing. The third category, they don't want to, they don't have any vidhi nishedam. That means guna dosham they don't take into account. They don't take into account. But they heard about the transcendental knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And what did they do? They started saying, oh, everything is Brahman, is it? So whatever I do, there's nothing wrong. They come to that situation, and that is dangerous. This is the third category, is the most dangerous thing. Do you see the differences between the three? The first one, who followed within Shedam, do's and don'ts, or guna dosham, they follow that dharmam, and they live that life in this world to the extent they can. And they are thinking that if I follow these injunctions seriously, Krishna will give me finally the result, will take me out of this material life. And which is true, it is in the Shastram, that if you follow dharmam, live as foundation dharmam, and if you earn wealth in this world, artham, based on dharmam, if you satisfy your desires based on dharmam, then the last one, moksham, will be offered. Just like when you go to supermarkets, you buy one, you get one free, isn't it? The same, similar, something like that. You have all these three, you buy three, you get one free here. Dharmam, artham, kamam, you have it, and Krishna will offer you the free one, moksha. Moksha is free then. Provided you have to do dharmam, artham, kamam properly, according to the injunctions. That's one. The other alternative is that Krishna is saying, vidhi nishedam and this guna dosham and all, too much headache. And they are also transcendentalists. They are not interested in this world anymore. No desire to make money, no desire to enjoy here. They just want to free themselves from this material existence once for all. They have got attracted by the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They have taken to it and they are going in that direction. And they surrender everything to Krishna, completely dependent on Krishna. They try to take Krishna's instructions very seriously and make progress in that way. That is the second category. The third category is, they don't follow any vidhi nishedam. They don't follow any vidhi nishedam. But they have heard all this from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And they come to the conclusion, oh, it is wonderful, fantastic. Everything is Brahman. So why should I worry about anything? I'll do what I like. Brahman, isn't it? Everything is Brahman. So that's all. So, so here you can see that is the most dangerous thing. Mostly most dangerous thing. The effectiveness of the medicine is not effectiveness of the medicine. Is not in the, or the glory of the medicine is not in the medicine. The glory of the medicine is when it cures your disease. Isn't it? You say some medicine is good, medicine on its own has nothing to say, good or bad. Is there? Any medicine is a medicine at the end. But you say it's a good medicine if it is curing your disease. No? Only then you can say it's a good medicine. So that is the same situation here, that what Krishna is talking about. Let the medicine be anything, doesn't matter. Whether or the doctor may be any great personality, or even if your hospital may be a big hospital, but has it cured my disease? That's the question. What's the point in saying we have got the best hospitals in the country, the best doctors and the best medicine, but I'm still sick? What's the use? I'm still sick. I got problems. There's no cure. And we are telling the whole world we have got the best hospitals, best medicines, best doctors, everything. But to me, it's of no use, is there? So same thing. So but the question is, what good is it for me? That's the question, isn't it? What is the effect you have to see in me? I have got the problem. My body has got the problem. And only if I have escaped from my problems, I can say all this is good. Otherwise it's no use, isn't it? Otherwise it's no use. Only if I have escaped from here, or if all my problems are solved, then I can say I have escaped from here. I have escaped from here. Otherwise I can't say that, can I? So similarly, all these are medicines. Which one? Gunadosham, Vidhinishedam, and the Shastram, knowledge, everything is medicine only. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's only a medicine. But if it has helped you, and if it has given you final release from material life once for all, and it helped you to realize the truth and not to come back here, then you can say it's good. That process is good. Otherwise, not. Same thing I was saying yesterday, I think you have understood what my point was, that you are reading, for example, you are reading commentaries now on Bhagavatam. So many commentaries are available, isn't it? There's more people, more commentaries are on its way now. There's still more writing, people are writing. So we get the feeling that if I study all the commentaries, you will understand Bhagavatam. That's a misunderstanding. If without reading any commentary, if this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam has gone in, and if it has done something good for you, then you can say Bhagavatam has helped you. But instead, whole life you have studied all commentaries and all the purports and translations, everything. And finally, if it hasn't given you any realization of the truth, you can't say that you had the right medicine. Medicine was wrong. So that's the same thing. That's why when we, it is mostly, it's a tendency among the many people that they seems that if some of the great acharyas, their translations, their commentary, if you read, you are going to get something what you don't get from the otherwise. You get that feeling like that, isn't it? So you start looking into other commentaries, other translations and other purports, everything. But the reality is like this, that what has Krishna spoken there in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is directly addressing to us. And that includes Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Sridharacharya Swamiji, Madhusudana Saraswati and many others who have written the commentaries. Do not think that only they understand Bhagavatam. This is a misconception. Tomorrow, if Bhagavatam has helped you in your life and you have taken this Bhagavatam in your life and used it, you have also understood Bhagavatam. This is the main problem. This is the greatest difficulty in the temple. They are thinking that only Vishwanatha Chakravarti and Sridharacharya Swamiji, Madhusudana Saraswati or Vallabhacharya understands Bhagavatam. We don't understand Bhagavatam. Nobody else understands. That is wrong. That is not how you understand Bhagavatam. If you have studied Bhagavatam and if it has helped you and you have applied Bhagavata principles in your life and you also started experiencing the joy of Bhagavatam, you have understood Bhagavatam. Only thing is, you didn't write a commentary like others have done. That is the main principle behind it. That is why thousands of people are studying Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously and they are taking the benefit from that. We have to do the same thing with Bhagavatam. That is our duty. Not to depend on Sridharacharya or Vishwanatha Chakravarti or Madhusudana Saraswati or Vallabhacharya to come and feed us one day. They are not going to feed us. They did what they got it from Bhagavatam in their commentary and they have gone. They have gone. But what happens is, because we have come through this modern system of education, we are thinking everything has to be structured in a particular way and you study these books, you get these degrees. They have structured everything in this way. What can you do? Therefore, they are not getting the benefit of Bhagavatam. They are always thinking, they are saying, first six cantos of Bhagavatam and then commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti or commentary by Madhusudana Saraswati. If you study that, you get your Bhakti Vaibhava degree. Then you study another six cantos, and then you study Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary and some other commentary by Vallabhacharya, then you get your Bhakti Vedanta title. This is ridiculous madness, this is. This is not going to help you in spiritual life. Spiritual life will happen what Krishna has told us directly here. Take the instruction seriously if it helps you in your life. A little bit if it has changed your life and you profited from that, you got the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, rest of the life, you can keep on getting your Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vedantam, Bhakti Siddhantam, all the titles, and write it down and hang them up. That's all. Nothing has changed. What good is it? They are not getting that point across. They are seeing like a university course, they are structuring it. This is the difficulty. Do you see the point? What I am saying is that Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Krishna is not only saying to Uddhava, he is saying to us, each and everyone who is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he should take this message himself and try it in his life. That's what is expected. That's what Yamam, Niyamam, and all these Jnanam, Vijnanam, everything Krishna is explaining to us. If you take it, utilize it, and you benefited from that, you have got it. You don't have to then, afterwards you can study any acharya, what they have written or what they have not written. That's another thing. Because if you read commentary from Vishwa Chakravarti or Jiva Goswami or Sridharacharya, you will see differences there, among them also. All what they are writing is what they have got it from Bhagavatam. That's what they are writing there. But we are thinking that they are all some like 12 apostles or something who had come here. And only they have got their monopoly or everything. No, it's not. And they don't want it to be like that. That's not what they want from us. Sridharacharya Swamiji's Bhagavatam commentary and all, if you read, he is saying like, he's not saying that, that only I understand Bhagavatam. No. He says so many people understand Bhagavatam. There are many, many people in this world who study Srimad Bhagavatam in very depth and who have got benefited from that, utilized it in their life and made it a success themselves. So that's the point here. Here also it's the same thing. Same thing. All these processes are there, and If you are not getting the benefit from that, that is the important thing. You have to get the benefit from there. Then only you can say you have escaped from here. Otherwise, what good is it discussing all these things? Krishna is not interested in that. Krishna's message is for the anyone who wants to move further in spiritual life, he can have it. That is so open it is. So open. The whole thing is so open to us. And leave it to us what you want to do. So, how to utilize this medicine and how what is beneficial for me, that maturity we need to have ourselves. We need to have ourselves. And that should be in our hands. And only if you have it in your own hand, the medicine will work. How to utilize it. For example, individual, as I mentioned yesterday also, according to our prarabdham, according to our vasana, we are all different, isn't it? So when you are applying this medicine, comparison with the medicine, when you are applying this medicine of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to know how to apply that medicine to yourself in spiritual life, how to apply this medicine yourself. So therefore, nobody can tell you that how to study Bhagavatam also. When you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, when you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you will know what you need from Bhagavatam and you will find the answer in Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita. And when it starts working, then you can say that is Krishna's grace is coming. Krishna's grace is coming at that time. And that is what is called Kripa. Kripa means that. In other words, you have to know where to keep Vidhi and Nishedam. Some people get excessively obsessed by Vidhi Nishedam. That also you can see. Some people are very strict on Vidhi Nishedam. That's also not good. You have to know where to draw the line. Vidhi and Nishedam. Do's and don'ts, in other words. Because Vidhi Nishedam and all is not absolute. You have to know that. They are not absolute, isn't it? For example, just like we have, we follow a certain way of eating habits, isn't it? We will eat only certain things offered to the deity or to Krishna, and we eat that as prasadam. That's our discipline, what we want to follow. Now, it's possible that in certain instances, if you have to travel or in certain situations, it may not be possible to do everything 100% rigidly to follow. So, to adjust to this Vidhi Nishedam according to time, situations, that Krishna has left it to the individual to do. He'll talk about it later in the Agastya Skandam. He says that when he talks about the Vidhi Nishedam later. So here, Vidhi Nishedam, where to keep it, in which level to hold it, and all of this is meant for ultimately to develop spiritual knowledge, to realize the truth. That is the goal. You should not hold on to vidhinishedam and stay in that state also. Then after that, vidhinishedam is already, I don't want anything. But they took to Vedantam. They started studying Vedantam. Vedantam they have studied. And then he is saying, I don't need any anushtanam because I am always studying Vedantam books. I don't want any sadhana, no anushtanam, no discipline in life. That is also trouble. That's also trouble. And when these things happen, so sometimes it happens like this. When too much Vedantam, when you study, then you start saying, there is no need to go to temple because God is everywhere. Why go to the temple? This will come. And then you will say, there is no need to do any deity worship. Why? Everybody is God. So, all these misunderstanding will come from that. This is the problem when you study Vedantam without any anushtanam. So then you will say, I don't need to chant any round because I am Brahma myself. Why do I have to chant? And then he will say, I don't have to get up so early in the morning because I'm already Brahman. Why? Brahman don't get up so early. Brahman can't sleep. Brahman doesn't sleep. Some logic you will find from Vedantam and not do anything in spiritual life. That sadhana discipline won't be there. Anushtanam is not there, sadhana is not there, discipline is not there. And a kind of tamogunam develops inside. You will talk the knowledge from Vedantam, but inside is full of tamogunam. This is compared, they compare in the, those who are properly following the Vedanta philosophy, they say, it is like if you are jumping over a well, you have jumped half the well. What is the use? If you jump half the well, what will happen? You will fall into the well, isn't it? You have not jumped the full well. It is just like somebody asked another person, that, can you jump over that well? He said. He says, it's very easy, he said. That he said, it's very simple. You jump half of it, and then you jump the other half, he said. After that. So, you cannot do that, can you? So, similarly, so how to utilize this? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that logic is within yourself, which is within yourself. So, that is the that connecting link. You can say the connecting link. So, for this Shastram, Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest enemy in that path is our selfishness, swarthada. Swarthada. Krishna says, that's why you can see swarthada means that swarthada means utilizing the Shastram for selfish interests. That is swarthada. Utilizing the, just like people, they will bring Shastram into Vyavaharam. Have you noticed? Sometimes abuse the Shastram and use it in the Vyavaharam. Like that. That's what swarthada means. Similarly, people use Vijinishedam also in the Vyavaharam. Isn't it? Sometimes some people say, when they are saying, they'll be lying through the teeth. They'll say, to be honest with you, they'll say. And as soon as he says that, to be honest with you, you can say the biggest lie is going to come out from the mouth. That is utilizing Shastram, because everybody knows to be honest is important. He also knows, but he says to you, to be honest with you, and then he says whatever the lie he wants to say. Because if you are honest, you don't have to declare to the world that I am honest, he said. Because you are not honest, you have to say first that I am honest. And I am going to tell you the honest. But the rest of the time, I am all dishonest. Only now I am honest. Like this, in Vyavaharam also, you will use Vidhinishedam to suit you. Everything like that. That is what Krishna is saying here. That you have to know. Not to use Shastram for Vyavaharam. Shastram is for self-realization. Everything you can see, this courses for personality development, what is it? Using Shastram for success in Vyavaharam, is it not? The whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about wiping out this thing called personality from inside. Ahankaram, ego.
Isn't it?
Wiping it out completely from inside is the goal of Bhagavad Gita, to make us convinced about that. This personality, ahankaram, is the whole problem in our life. Because of that, we feel this separation from Krishna, wants to enjoy separately, individually, all other desires have come, all because of this so-called individuality, ahanda. And we are teaching people personality development. That is using Shastram for Vyavaharam. Because that maturity is lacking in them. How to use the Shastram in the proper way. Similarly, management development and all that. You know, all sorts of courses, so many people are running all these things. So that intelligence is necessary, how to use the Shastram properly in life. So how to utilize the Shastram properly. If you start thinking for my happiness in this world or my comforts in this world, I will utilize the Shastram, what will happen is finally you will go and fall into the pit. You will fall into the pit. That is the question Uddhava is asking here. Why I was saying all these things is to understand how Uddhava has thought about it seriously and asked these questions to Krishna. Otherwise these questions have no importance here. The reason why these questions came up was Uddhava knew very well that people will abuse the Shastram for their in their vyavaharam in this world and completely misuse or abuse the whole thing. So he says to them that Krishna, Uddhava says to him, Krishna, this Shastram is okay. Shastram is everything fine. The knowledge, self-realization, that is also okay. And one who is released from all these things, both from the Shastram and from the knowledge, is Jivan Mukta, isn't it? One who is totally released. Remember yesterday we discussed that. Finally, Krishna says that Jnani Naso Bibartimam. If you remember that verse in the third verse, Jnana Vijnana Samsiddham Padam Shrestham Vidurmama Jnani Priyadamodo Me Jnani Naso Bibartimam. Finally, after realizing the self, he gets released from the knowledge of the self also. That means he has become the knowledge. Remember? Jnani Naso Bibartimam, he says. So Uddhava is asking the question that he gets released from the Shastram, he gets released from the knowledge also, And such a person, Krishna has said, he is a Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means, one, why he is living in this world, in this body, but he is already liberated. And such a liberated soul, nothing applies to him. No rule applies to him. Why? Because he will not make any mistake. We make mistakes. Why do we make mistakes? Because of vasana inside. We have vasanas inside. That vasana means ragam dvesham. That is inside us, isn't it? That is why we make mistake. Arjuna asked this question in the Bhagavad Gita. Why people behave like this, isn't it? You remember that? Arjuna asked us, Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. Look into that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see what happened. Arjuna is asking this question to Krishna. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. I think it is in the second chapter. Second chapter. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. 26
is atachainam nityam jatam. That's different. Athakena prayuktoyam. I think it is in the second chapter. 336, yeah.
Yeah, Arjuna Vacha. See Arjuna's question. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha anichannam abhivarshneya baladiva niyojita. That is that verse. Athakena, Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Anichannam abhivarshneya Beladiva niyojida, he says. Beladi, forcefully, he is doing that.
How did that happen?
That is his question. So when he asked that question, he Valadiva Niyojita. And he says, Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, Krishna, he says, I do not know why I engage in sinful life. Why I engage in sinful life? Not deliberately I am doing that. I am not doing that deliberately. But it happens. But it happens. And Krishna says that it's me who is present inside you and encourages you to do it. Krishna is saying, I am in your heart inside and I encourage you to do that, he says. So, that is, you will see in the Bhagavan Vacham, Kamayesha Krothayesha Rajoguna Samalbhavaham Mahashano Mahapapna Vidyam Enahi Vairinam. And Dumen, and if you read that third chapter further, we discussed this before when we discussed the third chapter. If you want to go back in detail, we have spoken at that time. Krishna is saying that that many verses combined together, the reply is that from within it is Krishna who is prompting all these things to happen. So Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, I am within everyone and I am prompting them to do it. Now this statement from Krishna, you can use it whichever way you like it. It is subject to your interpretation of that. So you can say, Krishna is forcing me to do it, so I am doing it. You can go and kill someone. Somebody asked this question, that he studied Vedantam. And finally he said, oh, everything is Brahmam, is it? So what's harm? It's Brahmam, isn't it? So he took a big shotgun and went and shot somebody. Oh, I shot his body, not the Brahmam. Brahmam doesn't die, is it? So that was his logic. In the same way, Krishna is saying here that I am situated in everyone's heart, encourages them to, according to the Ragadvesham, I prompt them to happen, to act accordingly. So Duryodhana also said the same thing. Do you remember? In the Mahabharatam, this famous statement from Duryodhana. Duryodhana says, I know what I am doing is wrong thing, he says. He says, then he mentions like this, Janahi dharmam, Janahi adharmam, he says. I know what is wrong, he said. Duryodhana says, you are telling me that I don't know what is right and wrong? No, I know, he says, what is right and what is wrong. But I am not able to stop it, he says. Janami adharmam najame nivrti. I am not able to do it. What can I do? And then he says, Janami dharmam. I know what is dharmam. I am not able to do it, he says. I know what is adharmam, but I am not able to stop it. I know what is dharmam, but I am not able to do it. It's a famous verse in the Mahabharatam. Janami adharmam najame nivrti. Janami narmam najame pravrti. Then he says, Kenabi devena hridisthidena. Duryodhana said this to Krishna. Somebody is inside me. Kenabi devena, somebody, he says, devena hridisthidena, who is situated in my heart. Yadha niyuktosmi tadha karomi. Whatever he is instructing me from inside, accordingly I am doing things. That's his logic. So we can also do the same thing. My conscience tells me do like this. Suppose there is no vidhi nishedam, nothing is given in writing, and we don't know. I can use this like that. And I know the knowledge of the, I understood the Vedantam. And suppose there is no vidhi nishedam, what will I do? I'll say my conscience is telling me like this. Yatha, and yatha niyuktosmi tatha karomi, and according to the conscience dictation, I am doing it. That is where vidhi nishedam comes. You can see how it is necessary. You need a shastram to tell you this is right or wrong, otherwise you will abuse yourself. You may have come to know about transcendental knowledge, but still, without vidhi nishedam, if you start acting in this world, it will be practically like Duryodhana, because we all have ragadvesham inside, isn't it? So based on ragadvesham, we will act in this world. So that is why
somebody is sitting in my heart and indicating to me what to do. And I will also say the same thing. I'm doing that. Now, if when you hear all these things, you may think, oh, it all look correct, isn't it? Duryodhana is saying the right thing. Because logically, is correct. Logically, it is correct. But, and when you are stuck in the result of that, when Duryodhana is saying like this, what Duryodhana says also is correct. You may feel like that. Sometimes we feel, I'm helpless about it. We say like that, isn't it? Certain things, when it happens, you feel you are helpless about it. What can I do about it? There are so many things in this world, we are helpless about it, isn't it? But remember this, if you take side of Duryodhana in these things, the result is that you won't be able to escape from here. That's all it is. That's all. You will stay here. You won't be able to free yourself from here. That is the problem. That is why you have to take the side of the mumukshatvam or the liberation side has to be taken seriously. You see, the problem is this vidhi nishedam, yama niyamam and all that, Duryodhana also knows. And Duryodhana is saying that I can't do anything about it, although I know about it. But somebody from inside is forcing me to act in this way, therefore I am doing it. That means all that, what happened with the Pandavas. How he tried to torture the Pandavas, burn them in the, what is that called, the lax, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And also inviting them for gambling. And finally, how they offended Draupadi for disrobing her. And finally ended up in Mahabharata war. So a series of events have happened. And Duryodhana is saying, I know everything. I know the right thing, what is to be done. I also know what is wrong. But from inside, somebody is forcing me to do like this. What can I do? Now, if we also take the same approach, what will happen? If you take the side of Duryodhana and act like this, what will happen is, you will get stuck here. You won't get released from here. That is the disadvantage. Krishna is saying here, yama niyamam and all will help you in that direction, but at the same time, self-realization goal must be strong inside. If you don't have the goal of self-realization, what can happen is, and if you don't take notice of this vidhi-nishedam and all that, you'll become like Duryodhana. That's what happened. Because vidhi-nishedam on its own or guna-dosham on its own cannot get the sufficient control over your mind. Suppose, just that's what Duryodhana is saying, that vidhi-nishedam I know, guna-dosham I know, everything. But inside me somebody is telling me, no, do it like this way. So he went to the war, Mahabharata war happened. He went to, threw the Pandavas away into the forest. He disrobed, Dushasana and others disrobed Draupadi. And so many other very heinous activities they performed against the Pandavas and Krishna as well. And Krishna has gone and spoken to them about it. And Duryodhana's answer is this. Janami dharmam najame pravrti. Janami adharmam najame navrti. Tenabi. He says here. Tena yatha niyukta. Tenabi kenabi devene hridisthitena. Yatha niyuktosmi tatha karomi. That deva inside, however he is instructing me, I am doing that, he said. So if you go in that attitude, if you go in that direction, along with this principle, the only thing what will happen is you may succeed or some way in this world, but you won't get released from here. You won't get liberated from here, you'll get stuck here with this Duryodhana's approach. Instead, if you have this goal of releasing, getting released from here, mukti or moksham from this material existence once for all, then if you take that side, then it is possible to free yourself from here. That is why so those who are justifying Duryodhana, they can stay like that. There's nothing wrong in that. They can stay. But only thing is, they won't get the release from here. That is the main problem. So
in nature there are several forces operating in the nature, you know, which is not in your control. Several forces are operating, and you can be an instrument in any of these forces, in any of these forces, and to which you offer yourself, to which you offer yourself. When I say various forces, means material nature imposes many forces on us, isn't it? Also, there are various forces in a family situation. A husband feels certain pressures from the wife and children. Wife feels certain pressure from the husband and the children. Children feels pressures from the parents. Parents feels pressures from the children. This is all in the householder life. You can't say that it doesn't exist. It does exist. Everybody knows about that. Then there is forces coming from the relations, from close relatives and distant relatives in different levels. Then there is other forces operating within the country from the government and from the Inland Revenue and all other forces. So if you look in your own life, you will see whole life is in the middle of all these different forces operating around you, operating around you. And you have to satisfy all the forces at some level. Otherwise it's very difficult, isn't it? So while operating in the middle of all these forces, Krishna says here, so if you take it that all this is your destiny, then it is your destiny. If you think it is your destiny, then it's destiny. So, and your whole life will operate in this way, the rest of the life will go in that way. You'll continue to operate in that way. And if you think that you have the ability to break away from this, all these different forces which is controlling you, and if you have that ability in you to break away from that forces, then it is your ability. That's all it is. When you say something is destiny and something is Paurusham, Paurusham, destiny, two things. Destiny is that all these forces are operating, you are willing to go along with that. It's a force coming all the time from different places, and you are simply trying to deal with that force in your best way so that that forces don't disturb you in some way or the other. So if you thinking that oh, it's my destiny that I have been put into this situation. If you take it like that, it is destiny. But if you feel that in your inside, no, I'm not going to go along with this everything. I'm going to see what is good for me finally, and I'm not selfish in that, only for my benefit ultimately. I don't want to suffer here anymore. I had enough of this, and all this is transitory anyway, and these connections and relations are also very temporary. Knowing very well, and if you have that determination inside, and you, with that principle, if you operate in this world, that is your Paurusham, ability inside. And you can see at that time, all these vasanas, what we talk about is also maya. Vasanas are also maya. So it is difficult to escape from the grip of maya. Vasanas will come very forcefully. But if you feel that vasanas are very powerful and maya is very powerful, if that concept is very strongly cut inside or established inside, then it will be, you will always remain in maya. You will always remain in maya. So what I'm saying is, in everything there is two sides to it. There's two sides to it. It's not that straightforward, an answer to everything. You have to know all the sides of it, and then according to your strength you have to act. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. So you can see, what can I do? I am stuck in this. And if you say, keep saying like that, I am stuck, I can't do anything about it, you will remain like that. There's nothing can be done about that. Instead, if you make the decision inside, I will utilize this situation, what I have got, whatever it may be. Let all the forces operate in this world, but I know how to handle this situation. But I'm determined, I want to escape from here. If you have taken that decision, and once that decision comes from within, and if you start making your move in that direction, that is called, and if you start moving in the direction, that is called Krishna's grace. That is called grace. People have all this doubt, what is grace? Grace means Kripa, isn't it? Kripa. We are thinking one day, somehow or the other, if Krishna comes one day and sort out all my problems in this world, nothing is going to happen. Andaryami inside, he sees your approach, how you want to change, whether you want to surrender, you want to accept all these instructions what Krishna has given. So Krishna is giving us various options here. And he is telling us these benefits you have if you follow Yamam Niyamam. These benefits you have if you are fixed in the transcendental knowledge. These benefits, these are the disadvantages if you don't take Yama Niyamam or transcendental knowledge seriously. All that Krishna has spoken in different ways at different times. Then he is also clearing our doubts regarding our Arjuna's case there. Why I am forced to perform sinful life, sinful activities, why does that happen? That answer also Krishna has answered there in the Bhagavad Gita in that way. So from various angles Krishna is opening up spiritual life to us and telling us, keep all this in your understanding and make the right decision and move forward. That's what Krishna is saying to us. Now there again you can get thing like this, that when so much comes you start taking that it is my destiny, I can't do about it. If you think like that, then it is your destiny. Then it is your destiny. It is very difficult to decide what is destiny and what is your... Destiny means fate, isn't it? More or less, it's a fate or destiny. Or what is that something that you could have escaped with your ability, with your effort, in other words. So, simply to say everything is destiny and give up everything is wrong. That is also not accepted. Krishna is not accepting. He is also saying there, but when your Paurusham means your ability or the determination inside is strong, while executing spiritual life, Krishna says, take all these things also into account while making your decisions in spiritual life. And you may think that, you know that we all have our own strong vasanas inside. Ragadvesham is inside. And ragadvesham is what is causing, what is called as vasana in another form, isn't it? So when you have vasana, it means that you are under the jurisdiction of Maya. Under the jurisdiction of Maya. And you are thinking, oh, I am under the jurisdiction, I can't do anything about it. Maya has forced me to do like that. And you can take that attitude also. Attitude also. Then you will remain in the jurisdiction of Maya. You will remain in the control of the vasanas or your, what is called, the destiny. All these misunderstandings will come from that. That is why Krishna says, when one develops that determination inside, to know all these things properly, where they belong to, and knows its place properly, and still keeps that determination to realize the truth or realize the self, if that is coming from that person, Krishna says he is receiving Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace. You see? So that is how you see if you are getting Krishna's grace or not. In spite of all the problems, all these different forces, these are all different forces, isn't it? Maya is one force. Destiny is another force operating around us, isn't it? When you are in a weak state, you will say, it's destiny, what can I do? Or sometimes when you can't do anything about it, you'll say, it's Maya anyway, what can I do? So Krishna is saying, Maya is there. It's not that it's not, it's there. Destiny is there. And all other forces, what we talked about, they're all there. But irrespective of all these forces which is operating, Krishna says, if you have the determination to realize the self and to move forward in the spiritual life, you can say, the grace is coming from Krishna. That is Krishna's grace. What we call it as Krishna's grace. Or Kripa, Ishvara Kripa, Krishna's grace, that is what it is called. So, and the same thing in Vedantam, they call it as Shubhecha. We'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaham davagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pratipadam purnamradaswadanam Sarvapnasvabhanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatrarpidami yamida smaranena kalam Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi Durudeiva midrishamiha janina nuragaham Trinarabhi shunichenam Tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena Kirtaniya sada hari na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishware bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai ai nanda tanu jakinkaram patidamam shame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankajastida duli sadrisham vijindayam nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya giram pulager nijidam babukada tavannam grahane bhavishyati yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahadam karotuva yathadhadava vidhadadulam badaha malprana nathastuna eva naparaha.
So so what we were just discussing, that destiny is there, Maya is there, and all the other forces are also there. But in the middle of all these things, Prarabdham is there, another force. In the middle of all these forces, if you get the strength, determination inside, and that I have to escape, I have to realize the truth, I need to have I need this knowledge Krishna has given. I want to make it my own. I want to make that knowledge my own realization. If it happens that way, then you can say the grace, Krishna's kripa or grace is coming. That is that proof of the grace. Proof of the grace. And in Vedantam, when one is in that state, it's called Shubhecha. Shubhecha. They are called Bhumiga. Bhumiga means different platforms in progress towards the truth. The Shubhecha is one platform. First platform in the Vedantam. When Jnanamargam, Jnani is the first stage of that, the realization is Shubhecha. Shubhecha means this Krishna's grace, Kripa, in other words. And all of this is like the sparks that come from the fire. Similarly, this Shubhecha is nothing but the sparks coming from Andaryami. Sparks coming from Andaryami. And these are the different sparks that come from Andaryami. In other words, from Andaryami, it comes in the form of destiny. From Andaryami, it comes in the form of ability. From Andaryami comes in the form of desire for liberation. It comes in the form of bhakti. It comes from the form of knowledge, jnanam. It comes in the form of lust. It comes in the form of anger, krodham. And similarly, lot of these powers come from the from the Andaryami, just like these sparks are coming from the fire. It will keep coming all the time. Different things come from inside. Whatever you are experiencing at a particular time, and that is Andaryami in its another form. And that is how sages describe that. That is why, in strictly speaking, there is no Siddhantam. There is no Siddhantam as such. And no Siddhantam is perfect either. Whether it is Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Achindya Bheda Bhedam, Kevala Dvaitam, none of them is perfect. That also you have to know. Is this a Siddhantam at the end? Siddhantam is operating based on the intelligence and the mind. What comes from Andaryami is different. That you can't put it under any kind of rules and columns, anything like that. So, but if you ask the question, no Siddhantam is correct. On the other hand, every Siddhantam is correct. It's also correct. It's so difficult to bring it under a particular format, this spiritual knowledge. Spiritual realization is like that. You can't bring it under a particular format and say, this is it. You can't say that. That's the difficulty. All Siddhantams are correct. Advaitam is correct. Dvaitam is correct. Vishishtadvaitam is correct. Achindya Vedabhayam is correct. Everything is correct. But none of them are correct either. Because the nature of the Antaryami, what Antaryami? According to Ragam, Dvesham, Vasanas inside, it creates Kamam, Krodham, or if there is sufficiently pure inside, Bhakti, Jnanam, or other forces like destiny, a Paurusham or ability, and or sometimes intense desire for liberation from material life, Mumukshatvam. All these are sparks that's coming from Antaryami inside. That's coming from Antaryami inside. In other words, Krishna is responsible for everything, finally. Krishna is responsible for everything. So, suppose you are here, for example, we are talking about Salsangam, isn't it? We are talking about Salsangam here. And suppose you are inclined for liberation, mukti, moksha margam. If you are inclined in that way, then things associated with that, like control of the mind, control of the senses, and all that is necessary. All that is necessary. Therefore, this vidhi nishedam, to a large extent, it is connected to the self-control, isn't it? Mind and senses. To a large extent, do's and don'ts are connected with the sense control, is it not? Many things we are allowed to do or not to do depends on how much control you have over your senses and the mind. Senses and the mind. For example, someone who is very addicted to sense gratification, he will not care very much for vidhi nishedam, is it not? Someone who is very involved in the process of liberation, who wants to get released from this world, he will get attracted to vidhi nishedam. He will follow them. He will follow them seriously. So, here the question is, as much as it is necessary, as much as you are interested in self-realization, that much vidhi nishedam is necessary. That is the principle. You can't just, a blanket rule give to people and say to them, follow, do all these things 100% perfect. That will not happen. Because that person's ragadvesham will be different, vasanas will be different. So when you give instructions, you have to keep this also in mind, that that person, to what extent he is inquisitive, or he wants to realize the truth, he wants to release himself from this world, accordingly, vidhi nishedam for him. On the other hand, suppose someone, there are people who says that I don't want liberation or anything, I just want to live in this world reasonably happy, and I don't want a lot of trouble in my life. I can't handle much of a crisis in life. I'm just happy with my family life. I want children to work, study, and get themselves or possibly settled in life, what they say. And I want to have a little bit of happiness in this life. Want to travel places, enjoy, see things. And liberation and all, I'm not too concerned about it. Whatever happens, I'm willing to accept that. So, to such people, all this vidhi nishedam doesn't apply. You see? So, according to the state where you are, accordingly vidhi nishedam. Vidhi nishedam is got that leverage there. That according to your needs, you have to take it. Whereas, suppose you are very interested seriously in spiritual life, and you want to know that there is a burning fire inside, you want to realize the truth inside, then all these things become very serious matters. Control of the mind, control of the senses, and all those things what is spoken about in the Yamam and Niyamam. So, you have to utilize vidhi nishedam to the extent you need them. To the extent you need them. Now, another question here is that many people will say the Shastram talks about caste system. Caste system means this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all these things. And again, there are sub-castes in all that, to expand more on that. So, and Krishna is mentioned here, uses the word Varnashrama Vikalpam. He calls it, I think it is mentioned in that, Varnashrama Vikalpam. you will see a word somewhere. Varnashrama vikalpa, yeah, second verse, you see, in the 20th chapter, second verse. Varnashrama vikalpam cha pratilomani lomajam dravya deshavaya kalan surgam naragam evava. What is this varnashrama vikalpam? Varnashrama vikalpam is this, that the Shastram says, Uddhava is asking this question, varnashramam itself is a mithya, because it's based on the body, isn't it? It's based on the body. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is based on the subtle body, not based on the soul. Soul, whether it's a Brahmana or a Shudra, it's the same soul. There is nothing different. But subtle body is different of a Brahmana and the subtle body of a Shudra is different. Brahmana, subtle body, will have all those Brahminical qualities, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is it not? Similarly, that is, you know, the Brahmana qualities mentioned in the 18th chapter. You can look at that and see what they are referred to. They are saying that a Brahmana will have these qualifications. Satyam, tapashaujam, daya shandirajavam, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahmakarma sabhavajam. All that brahmakarma sabhavajam. Then, yuddeja pyabalayanam, and dhanam ishara bhavascha kshatra karma sabhavajam, krishi gorakshana vanijyam, vaishya karma sabhavajam, parijaryalpagam buddhi shudra karma sabhavajam. All this is in the 18th chapter mentioned about brahmana. So where are they, those qualities? They are in the subtle body. They are not in the soul, they are in the subtle body. So this varnashrama dharmam is also based on the body then, isn't it? It's not based on anything, it's also based on the body. So Krishna's point here is that Vedam has spoken about this Varnashrama Dharmam. Varnashrama Dharmam is Vaidigam, it is there in the Vedam. And we are saying now, we are throwing away this Varnashrama Dharmam altogether, because we say there's no need for that. So does that mean that we are liberated, that we are thrown away? No. So we are saying that there is no jati, or there is no caste, or there is no varnam, there is no ashramam, nothing. The answer to that question is, why is it like that in the Vedam? Varnashram dharmam is spoken, and at the same time, when Krishna is talking about transcendental knowledge, he says, varnashram, throw it away. Both things. Vedam is also Krishna's words, isn't it? This is also Krishna's words. Bhagavadam is also Krishna's words. So, our Uddhava's question now is, why this vikalpam? If varnashramam is not to be thrown away, why is it in the Vedas then? Or, if it is in the Vedas, why you are telling us to throw it away? This is Uddhava's question to Krishna. Question is a little bit complex, more than what we think about it. The reason is that varnashrama dharmam is necessary to come to the platform of spiritual life. That is also there. But Krishna is saying here to Uddhava, but how long can you hold on to varnashramam? That's another question. So the answer to that, Krishna is saying that through self-knowledge of the self, if you have transcended varnashramam, then you don't need it. Then you don't need it. Vedam allows that. That is Krishna's point. That through varnashramam, through knowledge of the self, that means if you are completely fixed in the process of self-enquiry and self-realization and fixed in spiritual knowledge and wants to free yourself from this mess, what we are here, if you are determined and you are going in that direction, varnashrama dharmam, you can forget it. You don't need to worry about it. That means you have transcended varnashrama dharmam. You have transcended varnashrama dharmam, and Vedam allows that. Vedam allows that. But normally it doesn't happen. Or maybe it doesn't happen like that. Most of the people are not ready for that, are they? So in such a situation, varnashrama dharmam can help. The advantage of varnashrama dharmam is, if you follow varnashrama dharmam, the benefit is dharmam varnashramanam shrutipatha vihitam. Yaltaratvena bhaktya kurvando. If you follow varnashrama dharmam rigidly, and if you execute varnashrama dharmam rigorously, what will happen is it will develop bhakti in the heart. That is the benefit.
Kurvando andarvirageihi, vairagyam will come.
Bhakti and vairagyam will come, which means that you will be ready for transcendental knowledge. Spiritual knowledge will easily come to that person without difficulty. That is the benefit of Varnashrama Dharma. In the modern world, it is a bit difficult thing, isn't it? So mixed up everything now. But it has its own positive things. There is no doubt about that. When it existed, it had a society where, because you can see, it is not possible to elevate the whole world in one stretch. To bring everyone to a higher level is not possible. Prabhupada also explains that. He says that if you are, there is a group of people who are addicted to spiritual life, who are interested in knowledge, who are interested in the process of self-realization, who have that qualities of discipline in life and thirst for knowledge, detachment from the world, renunciation, and they are perfect examples. Prabhupada says that group of people can help others, because seeing them, others will also feel interested by they being the examples. Others will feel attracted by them. So that is the benefit of having this one class of people, which are the brahmanas, brahminical quality. Because that quality attracts everyone. Others also will have at least some desire will be built up to follow that path. That way you can keep the people in a certain better state. But if you think that you can elevate the whole world at the same time, that's not possible, because vasanas are different with people. Those who have very strong ragadvesham inside and who have very strong addiction to sinful way of life, you can't straight away turn them into a higher culture. It will be very, very difficult, isn't it? Similarly, in the society, for a peaceful function, presence of kshatriyas, vaishyas, all are necessary. But what Vedam has done is that no matter whether you are a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra, they have put some boundaries for everybody. If it is a shudra, they say you can work, do all these kind of things. Then you will be okay. For vaishyas, they have said you can make money, but make money in these ways, not otherwise. That's what Prabhupada says, that all this modern, he says modern businessmen industries, they are not vaishyas. So some or the other people have this impression, I am doing a business, I am a vaishya. No, only krishi goraksha vanijyam, they are the vaishyas. Only those who are growing food in the land and protecting the cows and trade what is allowed, that means commodities which you are allowed to trade. Otherwise all these business tycoons who are selling the oil merchants, or what you call them, the oil tycoons, they are not vaishyas. They are not vaishyas. They are all belong to fifth category, who are the exploiters category. So in that way, what Vedam is saying to us is that even though society, according to vasana, or they have divided the society into four, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. But then what Vedam did was, it put some boundaries for everybody. You have to stay within that. And if you know, everybody will not be a brahmana and everyone will not be a shudra either. So let shudra do his job within that boundary, he can become self-realized. Let him do, vaishya do his part within his boundary, he can also become self-realized. Equally kshatriya and the brahmana. And they said this whole society should be guided by the brahmana. So purpose is there for varnashramam, it cannot be rejected. But at the same time, so Krishna put a track for everything. So there was benefit from that. Only within that track you can do, not otherwise. So what has happened now is that we have, by saying that this is what the modern society has done, they have come and told us that this modern education, what they did in India was, they said that, oh, because your whole problem is you got this caste system, they said. And by preaching very strongly against the system of Varnashram, caste system, is a is a version of that, but the principle they broke, who the modern education broke the principle. If you look at it, the principle-wise, Varnashramam is a better principle. There is no doubt about that. The modern system is not an answer to the problem. What they said was, according to your vasana, divide the society and keep them like that. That way, the top group is always poor. Brahmanas are poor. Always poor. Always absorbed in self-inquiry, spiritual life. And always cultivating knowledge, simple, truthfulness, all their qualities, if you look, you will see there. And they were given the highest position in the society. Now, the modern society, what the modern society is saying is that you are unnecessarily creating problem in the society by dividing people. Look at us. We are all equal in our society. Are we equal? This is the cheating going on. Are we equal? No. What has happened now is these rich men who have exploited others to unnecessarily, and these ones we have talked about before, who are ready to make money at any cost because of their tendency and desire for greed and desire for wealth, they have happened to be the top members of the society now. They have become the top. So you can see in that society, Krishna consciousness is very difficult for them. Very difficult for them. So, and because they became the examples, what has happened? The rest of the society is also following them, and the whole society sings with that. Is it not? So the rich makes the, when they become the example, the rest of the society becomes also follows that. They think that we also have to make, everybody has to make money. If you are not making money, there is something wrong with you. All the time, this is, many people think like that. That they bring this idea, time is money. Is it not? They say like this. When you see their way of thinking, you wonder what a place you have come to. They are telling you all the time, especially in offices and all, they have this very serious private companies, banks, all of them have this concept very strongly in them. Time is money. And if there's big bosses and managers will tell you, if you're not making money, there's something wrong. You should be every moment you should be making money in life. If you're not making money, you shouldn't be in this world. That's their principle. So the question is that, Varnashrama Dharmam we have thrown away and put this system in place. In that place. So what has happened? Everything gone. We lost everything. So whatever good quality, good things, okay, Varnashrama Dharmam had its own difficulties also. Not saying that everything was 100% perfect, because there were some difficulties also. We threw away everything and we got replaced the system with something else, which is completely destroyed everything, and we have further degraded ourselves. So, so you can see when sometimes when they take the census, they ask you all this question, isn't it? In India, they take the census in a different way. They'll ask you, what's your caste? Or everything, they include all the things in their census, isn't it? So, but one thing what is interesting is, I'm talking now about India. What's happening there is, in spite of the fact that all this Varnashrama Dharmam, everything, the society is saying, the leaders are saying, Mahatma Gandhi also said, that he married his son to a different caste or something. And because he wanted to wipe out this caste system completely, it was causing so much problem. But even today, if you go to India, even today I'm saying, when you look into the villages, when they negotiate marriages, they will make sure that they marry from the same caste. That has not gone away. Everything else has gone. But this one thing hasn't gone. It is still there. So it's very interesting how government and the press and the all other things are trying to change and pull out everything. When it comes to marriage, they still want to look at that, and only after that they want to decide. They want to decide. Sometimes it happens, some boy and a girl decides to get married, because all this happening nowadays, isn't it? So unlike in the past. So they decide together and they want to get married. And it will go, negotiations will go up to a limit. And when this issue comes up, If it doesn't match, then they say, that's it, call it off, it's over. Everything is finished at that time. So that is why Krishna's point is that we are talking about Varnashrama Dharmam. The idea of this Varnashrama Vikalpam, Krishna is mentioning here, that Varnashramam you can write it off, no harm, provided you are into self-realization, after knowledge of the self. Otherwise it is not of any use. That is Krishna's opinion about it. Then, that's what I'm saying. All these things depends on where you are. Based on you, all these apply, according to the situation where you are in. If you are concerned about living in this world, to fit in with the society, or to act according to the society's customs, everything, then Varnashram is important. But if you are not interested in the society, not bothered about what goes on here, you are concerned more about the spiritual life and self-realization, Varnashram, you can write it off. It has nothing to do with it. That is the point. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, here, so the idea behind that is that that if you have this Varnashrama Dharmam, the benefit is that there will be a net which is put around your ego. For example, when you take out this completely, what will happen? A person who has no Brahminical qualities, say for example, who is by nature, he is a Shudra, by nature, which means that he has he wants comforts in life, happiness in life, with the bodily level, attachment to various things. These are all the nature of that Shudra body, isn't it? So that Shudra person, if you have a network around him, a net, if you put it around his ego, everybody has ego, Brahmana has ego, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they all have their egos. But relatively, Brahmana's ego is on a better level, higher level, in the sense that has got purity, he has got simplicity, truthfulness, and intense desire for knowledge and self-realization. We are now talking about proper Brahmanas, don't go by what you see in the world. Intense desire for knowledge and self-realization, and control of mind and senses, all that qualities what Krishna talks about here, they are in him on a very higher percentage in the Brahmana. When it comes to Kshatriya, he has his qualities, isn't it? What this mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Dhanam, charitable nature, controlling nature, Ishvara Bhava. And if somebody attacks, willing to stand up to that and to fight back. These are all Kshatriya qualities. Brahmana, if you attack, he won't do anything. He will just give you what you want. He say, leave me alone, he will say. Kshatriya won't do that. Kshatriya will say, who are you? He'll say, that will be his attitude. Vaishya will have intense attachment for money, making money. And that attachment is good for, in the sense that, because Vaishyas are very, very difficult to check their enthusiasm for making money. You put them anywhere, they'll make money. That is very difficult. It's just in the blood, what can you do? And that is the very nature of that Vaishya quality. That, and any amount of wealth, they will not be satisfied. Sky is the limit for them. That is the Vaishya nature in them. What can you do? You don't want to say anything about it. So what Vedam has done, okay, you have Vaishya Vasana, remain as a Vaishya, but put some net around you, so that you won't cross the boundary and go haywire, out of control completely, and start doing, to any extent, making money. That thinking won't come to you. You remain as a Vaishya, because that's your Vasana inside. Nothing can be done about that. So put a boundary around that and keep him in that track. Same thing with the Shudra also. So this is how Varnashrama Dharmam restricts a society to act in a sensible way, not in a haphazard way, or not in a uncontrolled way, reckless way to behave. What's happening now is total recklessness, isn't it? Completely reckless it is. People who are so greedy for wealth and sense enjoyment, and whose mind is driven by such greed, they're going to do anything what they want in this world. And the whole politics, business, everything is completely messed up because of this. And a person who has some desire for spiritual life or knowledge of the self, he gets suffocated by this kind of people around us, isn't it? It gets very difficult to live a proper life in this world. Or they create such schemes and systems in such a way that you will be forced to act in a dishonest way and do things in the dishonest way, live in this world. That is the problem that is created because of this breaking away from Varnashrama Dharma. So Krishna's point here is that whatever it may be, that in relationship with sense gratification, because depending on Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the desire for sense gratification changes. Among Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras, there is more inclination for gratifying the senses, isn't it? But if you have this limitation around anyone, whether he Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, if you have this boundary around him, it is favorable for spiritual life. It's favorable for spiritual life. Other things, let it be anything, doesn't matter. Now, so in matters related to sense gratification, if you take away that limitations, and we have taken that away, isn't it? In relationship with sense gratification, we have taken away all the boundaries and we are keeping them in other things. That's also happening. When it comes to sense gratification, there is no limitation now. You can do what you like. Nobody is going to ask you anything about it. So, if you get happiness from anything, or if something is pleasing for you, and and that means, for example, by following this Varnashrama Dharma, it is possible that it brings some shanti inside. In other words, you won't go uncontrolled way to make money in this life. A profession-wise, for example, a farmer's son normally will remain as a farmer, or a businessman's son will be a businessman. Similarly, many professions, skilled professions or unskilled, they will tend to follow the job their parents did, isn't it? Gold merchants, for example. Same way, every profession, based on, he will not think, I want to become a prime minister tomorrow. He won't think like that. He will be satisfied. But now what happens? Because there is no boundary anywhere, someone he's a butcher today, tomorrow he says, I want to be prime minister. And he has learned the science how to make it happen through the vote system. So the whole thing changes. But his attitude to life hasn't changed. All what he has learned is how to manipulate the voters. So that track, if you break the track, it causes problems. Because if it goes in that way, it will become a society like the way we are today. So Krishna says, you have to know where to draw the line for each profession or each varnam. And if you do like that, Uddhava is asking here, that are they dependent on the dravyam desham kalam, he says. Dravya desha vaya kalan surgam naragam evava. Because in all these things, dravya means the wealth, desha means the place, kalam means the time, and vayasa means age. Are they dependent on all these things? Because Vedam says these things also are dependent on these factors, dravya desham, kalam, vayam. So if you don't have this, we get limitations due to them also. If one does not have all these things, how will he escape? That is Uddhava's question. Uddhava's question is very interesting. It's a very important question also. Uddhava saying to Krishna, if there is no law in this world, if it is a lawless society, not like the way we make law now, that is no meaning. That is it's a completely different way, the way laws are formulated. But Uddhava's question here is, if there is no law in this world, is it possible for him to become a jnani in that situation? So if you take away all the laws away, and the jnani does not follow, one who does not follow those laws, will he become a jnani? That is Uddhava's question. Not after becoming a jnani. Someone wants to become a jnani, but he does not follow any of the rules and regulations. Will he become a jnani, or will he become a very debauch, in other words, or useless in any other way. So, and that is what he is asking that question in the fifth verse. You can see there.
Gunadosha Uddhava asking question from a very sushma level. When a subtle level he is asking the questions, what will happen?
He is saying there, Gunadosha Bidha Drishtir Nigamate Nahi Swadaha Nigamena Apavadascha Bidhaya Idiha Brahma.
Uddhava got all doubts because when Krishna spoke about that highest knowledge, Uddhava had these questions.
You can see there, Gunadosha Bidha Drishtir Nigamate Nahi Swada Nagamena Apavadascha Vidayam Idiha Brahma.
That was the question from Uddhava.
And the question is that this Adhyaropam Apavadam, they are what they call in the Shastram. Adhyaropam and Apavadam. What it means is that this Varnashrama Dharmam, based on Varnashrama Dharmam, you have certain responsibility, isn't it? Certain responsibility. What does that mean? Samskaram. Different samskaram. There are, for Brahmanas, the maximum samskaram. They have 40 samskarams altogether to do, which is quite a lot. When you look at the list of the samskarams for Brahmana, less for Kshatriya, less for Vaishya, and the minimum for the Shudra. Minimum for the Shudra. Brahmana has the maximum samskaram. Shudra has the least samskaram. So, Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Seemantam, Jadagaranam, Namagaranam, Karnavedam, Chaulam, Ubanayanam, Samavartanam, Vivaham, like this, constantly samskaram after samskaram for Brahmana, isn't it? Kshatriya has few less, and less restrictions for the Kshatriya. Further less for the Vaishya, and the very minimum for the Shudra. So what Vedam has done, those who have got that vasana there, who has got vasanas for Brahmana, Brahminical culture, Vedam made the decision that person should do the least karma in this world. Physically, he should be least engaged. So they put the maximum restrictions through this samskaram. That's what they've done. That he should do the minimum work physically, and in order to be like that, he has to be engaged still. They gave this other samskar, all these samskarams to the Brahmana, the 40 odd samskarams. And each and every samskaram, when he is executing that samskaram, he follows that his responsibility goes up in spiritual side. Responsibility goes up in spiritual side. So therefore, he has very limited time for material activities. Brahmana has limited time for material activities. And Shudra has the least amount of restrictions. And therefore, he has maximum possibility for sense gratification. He finds it difficult to accept Shastram to a high degree. And he has not much interest also. You know that this thread what we put on, it was for everybody, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. In due course of time, what happened? Shudra said, we don't want to wear that thread anymore. And that's how thread was taken out. Nowadays, Shudras doesn't have the thread. But previously, everybody has thread. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra had thread. All of them had thread. Course of time, what happened is, Shudra said, it's a hassle. I don't want any of this on the body. Because he is very attached to his body and happy comforts. So he found that difficult, he cut the thread away. In course of time, Shudras and Kshatriyas also took it off. And now Brahmanas are also saying it's a hassle. So they're also taking it. This is how it happened. This is the way it developed in the society. And but Shastram says everybody should have a thread. Everybody should have a thread. That's a Shastric injunction. But society has changed, and we, according to our progress, people started making fun. Wow, what do you have this cross belt for? They say. Like that. So like these people start making fun of it, and then similarly Shikha also, all taken away. Why? Because people started saying it's not necessary, and what do you need the Shikha for? Like that. In the West it is different, because here a lot of big managers also goes with Shikha now. And it's another hairstyle, they call it. So West is different, India is different. India it is completely different, but in the West it is totally different. All sorts of hairstyles you see, managers having it. in the offices. So, so what happened is, after putting all these restrictions, Vedam put all these restrictions on the society in different forms on the four varnam, and finally Vedam says, remove all the restrictions. It is also there in the Vedam. These restrictions are only there in the body and in your mind to help you. But this is not the end of life, these restrictions. Finally, Vedam says, at the time of sannyasam, if you look into the proper sannyasa ashram, and when sannyasam is taken, what do? They cut their shikha. Sannyasi cut his shikha. In the proper, I'm talking about the Vaidika sannyasam, not what's happening today in the modern world. Vaidika sannyasam, at the time of sannyasam, you cut your shikha, you cut your thread, both. You are taken off. Why? In that sannyasam stage, what's happening is, at that time, through the knowledge and the realization, the complete knowledge is in that person. He is not anymore a brahmana, or he is not anymore a kshatriya, or a vaishya, or a shudra. He has gone beyond all that. That is what is proper sannyasam. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. The proper definition of sannyasam. We are talking about Krishna sannyasam. Don't think about the sannyasam what's going on today. That's a different thing. This is over a period of time. Different institutions and different mats have brought about their own standard of sannyasam, and that was instituted. We are talking about the sannyasam from the Vedic times, what happened, how sannyasam started. At that time, that sannyasi at the time of sannyasam cut his shikha off, cuts his threads off and thrown away at that time. And that is what, all the rules and regulations were completely removed at that time when he is taking sannyasam, and that is proper sannyasam, what Krishna is going to talk about in the Bhagavadam. Krishna referring to sannyasam is on a completely different level. Now, people are thinking, they are seeing the sannyasis of the modern world, and they are reading Bhagavadam, and they are thinking they all fit in with the Bhagavadam. They don't fit in with the Bhagavadam anywhere. They are far away. The modern sannyasam, whether it is through ISKCON or through another mission or any other institutions, what you find, that sannyasam is an institutionalized sannyasam. It is that institution, for its own specific reasons, they have instituted certain rules. On that basis, they have given that sannyasam to them. But that is not the sannyasam what Krishna is talking about. Krishna's sannyasam is this, that at the time, that based on the Vedam, Vedam instituted varnam and ashramam, four varnam and four ashramam. But finally, when you come to the sannyasam state, sannyasa ashramam, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, when you come to sannyasa ashram, all the Vedic injunctions you don't have to follow anymore. Everything is dismantled at that time. The same Vedam who put all the rules and regulations on you finally takes it away, everything from you, takes it back. This is the principle. That is the proper understanding of sannyasam. Modern sannyasam is different. You shouldn't go by the word changing the name or changing the dress or carrying a danda. And I don't know what Krishna will say if he see our modern sannyasis. I don't know what he will say, because he will be shocked seeing all these sannyasis traveling in the best first class airfare and air travel, and staying in the best places, and calling themselves a sannyasis. Krishna, I don't know what Krishna will say about that. It's difficult to say. But all I can say is that Krishna is saying to us, that to Uddhava, Uddhava, the sannyasam is this, what I am talking about. Which means that Vedam has instituted a lot of restrictions on the society in the form of varnam. And then finally, Vedam, the same Vedam who has instituted all the restrictions, takes away everything from that, restrictions from him. Why? Because he has come to the platform of sannyasam, proper sannyasam. That means jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Symptom of sannyasam is knowledge and realization, nothing else. If you have the knowledge and the realization, doesn't matter where you are, in what country, in what situation you are a sannyasi. You are a sannyasi because you have reached that state of realization inside, and that's what matters at the end. So here, Uddhava is asking this question. So
which Vedam? The Vedam which has imposed all these things on us. Which one? All the purificatory ceremonies, what we have mentioned. You know the purificatory ceremonies, people are very much, you can see this among the society also. People want to get, when a new baby is born, they are particular about the ceremonies related, Namakaranam, Jatakaranam, and also Karnavedam, Pumsavanam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, all these different ceremonies they want to do it, isn't it? So they bring the children to the temple to do this, and we have got our priests to do it, who do a good job. So this is also going on simultaneously in life. What Krishna is saying here is, this Vedam who has given all these rules and regulations, that same Vedam is taking away at the end. We don't need all these things. Why? Only for Varnashramam purpose that was given. So what is interesting here is, that in this modern society, when you try to do bits and pieces here and there, it all looks very strange. Some things you are doing, some things you can't do it, some things you don't want to do it. So it's a combination of various things. Nobody is following strictly 100% what Vedam is talking about. Who is able to follow now? The 40 samskarams of a brahmana, out of them, maximum they follow 2 or 3 today. If you get 2 or 3, if someone follows 2 or 3, you must more or less say, Upanayanam, many of them still follow Upanayanam ceremony. And similarly, Namakaranam, the name-giving ceremony. Like these two, and then marriage, Vivaham. Samavartanam also not there. Samavartanam is before Vivaham. That's also not, because they are going to colleges. Samavartanam is done after going to spiritual master, studying from him Shastram. Who is studying Shastram now? So they are going to college and the universities. So what is the Samavartanam there? So Samavartanam, everything gone. Practically everything gone. So out of the 40 samskarams meant for the brahmana, hardly 1 or 2. For name's sake it's done, so that society won't reject you. That's how they do it. Even Upanayanam and everything is simply done just to please the society, so that the rest of the family members will say, he had his second initiation, what they call Upanayanam, isn't it? So as happened. So Uddhava is asking this question. These two things, Vedam has given everything and Vedam is saying to take it away everything. So Brahmana is told this particular karmam for him. Kshatriya has this karmam, Vaishya has this karmam, Shudra has this karmam. Like this, he is supposed to live in this world. And also they have been told that that kind of nishta, steadiness in their life is instructed. So what they have done basically is that they have put a track to our selfishness. That we are all selfish in this world, but if there is a track from the society, that within that track you can live, then the selfishness of the person will come to some, and will be under, kept under some check, under control, isn't it? And that same Vedam is saying to us, the same Vedam who has given all these things to us, finally it says, this is all avidya. You see that? See that point? Vedam gave everything to us, isn't it? All these 40 samskaras and all other things associated with Varnashrama Dharmam, everything is from Vedam. Vedam wants it. And that Vedam says, after saying all these things and asking the society to follow, finally Vedam says to us, it's all avidya, ajnanam it is. It's all avidya or ajnanam. And and Vedam also says to us that you have to transcend all these things. Transcend all these things. So Vedam has given one thing and Vedam takes away the same thing later. So when I see this, that is what Uddhava's question there. When I see all these things, I am having some doubts, he says. He says, I have some doubts about that, and what is the secret in all these things? That is Uddhava's question. So, what is Bhagavan's, Krishna's system? That you know. I've said many times before. Uddhava created all these doubts, asked all these questions, and now Krishna is going to answer. But if you look into the answer, as usual,
never answer the question. This is always with Krishna. Krishna will never answer your question because he knows where is the question coming from. Isn't it? So therefore, Krishna's point is never to answer any question. Uddhava has asked 19 questions in the Ekadasha Skandam total. Not one answer was given to the 19 questions. This is the most interesting thing. That 19 questions Uddhava has asked is listed separately. And if you look at the answer for the 19 questions, these 19 questions comes throughout the Ekadasha Skandam. 19 questions. And for none of the 19 questions, Krishna has given an answer directly. Directly, no answer was given. Uddhava will ask something, Krishna will answer something else. And you will start thinking, what has this got to do with the question? Everyone gets this problem. It's not. This is the difficulty in Ekadasham. Ekadasham's beauty is this, that unless you are very decided to find out what is the truth behind all these things, you will not get it. Otherwise you will start cutting and pasting from every other commentary and thinking that this is the answer. And you will be completely confused about it. So here also, Uddhava asked this question, Gunadosha Bidar Drishtir Nigamate Nahiswada Nigamena Abhavadascha Vidaya Idiha Brahma. This is my Brahma. Brahma means confusion. This is my confusion, says Uddhava. Idiha Brahma. This is my Brahma. And you start with Krishna's answer. It's going to start the answer now, which if you read, there is absolutely no connection with the question. There's absolutely no connection with the question. Let's look at the answer. It is interesting. Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Yoga Astrayo Maya Prokta Nirnam Shreyo Vidil Saya Jnanam Karmam Cha Bhaktiyascha Nobayo Anyosti Kutrachil. This is how the answer comes. Uddhava is asking about Varnashram Dharmam. Krishna is saying there are three kinds of yoga system. Krishna, Uddhava is asking about Varnashram Dharmam and all the rules and regulations Veda has given to us. Krishna's answer, Krishna says, Yoga Strayamaya Proktam. Uddhava, only there are three types of yoga systems I have spoken. Nirnam Shreyo Vidhil Sayaham. These three yoga systems will do a lot of good for you. What is that? Jnanam, Karmam, Cha, Bhaktischa. That is these three yoga processes. Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam and Bhakti Yogam. Na Upayam Anyosti Kutrachil. There is no other Upayam. There is no other way. Simply that. He said, you have got this choice. Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam or Bhakti Yogam. You have got three options. That's all I have created. He is the creator. Krishna is the creator of the three yoga process. Isn't it? So he's saying, I have given these three yoga systems to the world and that is the only options, he says. So Uddhava has not even asked about yoga system. See, he hasn't even asked about that. But Krishna is saying here, these are the three processes. And he also says, for the welfare of the society, I have created these three yoga systems. And why? Krishna is saying that you have to know that the very heart of the Vedam Krishna is talking about here, Uddhava. And in order that people can finally escape from this situation, from this material life, material existence, samsaram in other words, or their distress, I have created these three processes of yoga system. This is how Krishna begins the answer. Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. And these three processes of yoga system I have discussed in the Vedam, he says. And except these three things, there is no other process possible. In other words, Krishna didn't want to get too involved discussing about Varnashrama Dharma. You can see every time when Krishna talks about, he talks about the truth. He doesn't want to discuss. Varnashrama Dharma is all not truth. These are all helpful situation to create for self-realization. Varnashrama Dharma. But truth is something different than that. That is why every time, similarly Vidhi Nishedam, Gunadosham, all these things is not the truth. They are all on a relative platform.
isn't it? Krishna's point of view is, let's talk about the truth. And for that, realizing the truth, there are three yoga processes: jnanam, karmam and bhakti, nothing else. He closed the chapter there. He says to him that there's nothing else. So, one who has given up all desires for enjoying life in this world, and one who has given up even desires for going to the heavenly planets, to such a degree his renunciation and detachment has come, and he has given up even the ways and means to go to the heavenly planets, even that he has given up. Such a person is ready for Jnana Yoga. That is Krishna's first statement, isn't it? You will see there, Nirvinnanam Jnana Yoga Nyasinam Iha Karmasu Tesho Anirvarna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. The first one is Nirvinnanam Jnana Yoga Nirvinna. Nirvinna means one who has no desires inside. He is not making any plans to enjoy life in this world, nor he has any plans to go to the higher planets to enjoy there. He has given up all that things. And even such a high degree of renunciation in him, that means his inside is burning with the desire for knowledge and self-realization. That person, one who is burning inside with the desire for realizing the self and realizing the truth, that is that person. Very high degree of renunciation and vairagyam inside, completely renounce the karmam in this world. No attraction for any karmam in this world. So from karmam, completely released, from vairagyam, higher degree. Very high degree of vairagyam. Then no desire about going to heavenly planets or enjoying or any such desire has gone away from him. Such a person, and he has given up all karmam, that person is qualified for Jnana Yoga. For Jnana Yoga. So, you will see the seventh verse. Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogam Nyasinam Iha Karmasum Teshu Anirvinna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. So Krishna says here, without any desires, suppose you have given up all the desires have gone away, genuinely gone away from inside, his subtle body will be very pure, chittam. Chitta Shuddhi will be there in that person. And as soon as he comes into contact with the realized soul, as soon as you hear the transcendental message from the realized personality, he will get fixed up in the Swarupa. He will get established in his identity as the spirit soul. So he is qualified for Jnana Yoga. He is qualified for Jnana Yoga. And they have given up everything in this world, no attachment anywhere, and they are qualified to be situated in the process of Jnana Yoga, Jnana Nishtha. Now, other group, what he says here, there are people who has attachment for karma. Karma and the results, very strongly attached to that. And they are not able to give it up. They are very attached to karma. They cannot give it up because it's there in them. Vasana is there, it hasn't gone away. Vairagyam has not come. They want to have a reasonable, a good standard of life, as they say, in this world. Wants to have good house, good family life, and good comforts, everything. That's not going away. And such people, Krishna says, they should go for Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the process for them. Because for them, very difficult to stay without doing karma. And at the same time, difficult for them to give up the results also. If it is like that, Krishna says, if they have attachment in all these things, that means, if they have attachment for karmam, and if they have attachment for the results of the karmam, then their process for them to get liberated is in Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the process for them for their liberation. It is in their karmam, their moksha margam, the process for them to get released from them, from the karmam, for liberation is in the karmam itself. See how karmam binds you? Suppose somebody is attracted to karmam, doing karmam in this world. and someone is very attracted to enjoying the results of the karma. And if he wants to get liberated, the place where he has to work on is in the karma, karma itself. If he takes his karma into karma yoga, he has a possibility of freeing himself and he can get liberated. That is karma yoga. That is karma yoga, Krishna is talking about it. So this karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, it depends on where you are situated. That is how it's decided. Depending on where you are, based on that, the yoga process for you. It is not a blanket thing for everybody. It is not possible to do that. You will see sometimes that we say to bhakti yogam, bhakti yogam. Bhakti is necessary for everybody, but that comes on a higher level. Jnani also becomes a bhakta. Karma yogi also becomes a bhakti later. And anushtanam upasana is necessary for everybody, whether you are jnanam, karmam or bhakti. But what is the most predominating thing in life? Because you have to know yourself first, isn't it? To decide which is the way I have to go. And therefore, Krishna's point here is that the where you are situated, that is where the seed of your liberation lies. Your seed of your liberation depends where you are. That depends on that. So, because let's give an example like this. In Ayurveda, they have a system like this. What is that? When a patient is coming to see the Ayurvedic physicians are normally busy with the plants, isn't it? They are growing all sorts of plants for preparing the medicines. So they say, when the patient is coming to see them, whichever plant they are working with or they are pulling out from the ground, he says that will be the medicine for that patient. To such an extent, on a subtle level, they know that depending on the patient, the plant is being pulled out from the ground. Because normally, Ayurvedam, it is like that. It is changed now. Now it's different. But I'm saying, talking about the times when long ago. So similarly, where we are today, depending on the based on that, the medicine. Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, all these three different processes, Krishna is saying, it depends on the person who is. It is no point one who has a lot of detachment from this world and who has a very high degree of vairagyam and who has no interest in the karmam of this world, making money here or going to heavenly planets to enjoy. There is no point in talking to him about karma yogam and bhakti yogam, because he is a candidate for jnana yogam. It will work for him. What he needs is a realized spiritual master from whom he directly gets instructions and he will escape. On the other hand, a person who is very addicted to karma, wants the results of everything, the success of his spiritual life depends in his karma. How he manipulates his karma, that will decide whether he will get liberated or not. If he uses his karma as a karma yogam, then he can get released from here. Similarly, the last third one Krishna is talking about here. So, Yadrachayam, that is the seventh word. Seventh words talked about Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam. After that, Krishna is saying, Yadrachayam alkadadaum, jada shraddhastuyapuman, na nirvino nadi sakto, bhakti yogosya siddhidaha. That is bhakti. Yadrachayam alkadadaum, jada shraddhastuyapuman, na nirvino nadi sakto, bhakti yogosya siddhidaha. Very clear, isn't it? That this person, this third one, which one? Bhakti person. He is not like jnani. He doesn't have that kind of renunciation what a jnani has got. He likes some things in life. He doesn't want to struggle too much, but like a karma yogi nature, the person who has got attached to karma means he will work very hard. But person who is inclined for bhakti, he doesn't want to do a lot of work. But at the same time, he wants to do some work in the world to make his living going here, keep his living going. And similarly, as far as comforts and vairagyam is concerned, he is not completely able to give up everything. At the same time, he knows beyond these comforts in this world, life in this world, there is something higher to look forward to. So this is the situation with a devotee. So Krishna's point is, yadrchaya malkadado jada shraddhastuya puman na nirvino na disakto bhakti yogo sya siddhidam.
That somehow or the other, this person we are talking about, he came to hear something about Bhagavad Gita, something about Srimad Bhagavatam. When he heard Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he got some interest in that. Somehow it happened. Sometimes it happens like that, isn't it? By chance it happens. You heard Bhagavad Gita or read Bhagavad Gita, something you heard or Srimad Bhagavatam, and you started thinking, well, this looks reasonable, good to me. I'd like to take to this process. Somebody decides like that. And his situation is that he is not fully renounced, he doesn't have the total vairagyam, and he also unable to give up his karma. But at the same time, he's not very addicted to karma. That also you have to remember. He's not very addicted to karma. Just want to do what is minimum necessary to have a reasonable life in this world. Such a person, and who has heard about Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, yadrchayamal kadadho jada shraddhastuya puman, somehow his attention, shraddha, has fallen into Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So, na nirvino, na adisakto, he is not completely detached, nor he is too attached either. He is qualified for Bhakti Yogosu Siddhida. He is the right candidate for Bhakti. Krishna is saying like that there. And so basically the principle is this: Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, all this yoga system, Krishna says, is depends on where you are. That's where you have to start. It's not simply Bhakti Yogam everybody, or simply Jnana Yogam everybody, or simply Karma Yogam everyone. So it is up to the individual to see what his tendencies are or his nature is, and based on that make that decision. It will not that decision is a difficult decision, because sometimes we ourselves don't know what our tendencies are. So for reasonable time you may have to wait till you get that clarity from inside. And then, yeah, that will know as you are progressing in spiritual path. You will know what your vasanas are. You will also know what is actually helping you in your process, in the process. So these things happen later, but Krishna's point is that always remember this, where, depending on where you are, you start from there. The process starts. And we have to accept it that way. So I think it is 11:30, isn't it? So we'll stop there. Now, there is a long way to go. I have got to go. This is only, we have just started the 20th chapter. We want to finish 20th, 21st, 22nd, three chapters. That was the plan, but as it is, we don't have the time. So what we'll do now is, when we have the July times, 2 weeks, we'll come back to Bhagavatam at that time. Till then, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita as usual. Saturday and Sunday, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita, because we have now started the 13th chapter. Problem is, if you keep Bhagavad Gita one day and Bhagavatam another day, it all gets mixed up, isn't it? So those who are seriously studying and listening, for them at least there is some continuity. If it is Bhagavad Gita, let it be Bhagavad Gita. That is what I felt. That's why we keep Bhagavad Gita right up to July, when we have the end of July. We'll continue with Bhagavad Gita. That way, we'll at least progress a few chapters by then, hopefully. And that means every chapter generally takes about 2 to 2.5 months if we have a Saturday and Sunday class. So that means at least we'll get through the 13th, possibly 14th chapter by then. And then we can, when we have the 2 weeks time, if everything goes okay, in those 2 weeks, we'll come back to Bhagavatam and we'll continue and bring it up to Bhikshu Gita, and we'll stop it there. So 4 days we had Krishna consciousness life. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.